Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Long time no talk.
It's been a
Months.
month, 2 months, a month and a half.
Probably a month and a half.
Yeah.
I don't think it's quite two. 'Cause didn't me and Bill do one without you?
Yeah, you and Bill did one with Daryl.
Yeah.
So, yes.
So we'll add Bill. He's got a birthday card there. Is this his birthday today?
I don't think so. Is
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday?
I
Is it your
don't
birthday?
know.
You have that as your icon.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah, what happened? I usually see the crossed face.
The cross guy. I've changed my attitude on life.
Oh, every day.
Every day is her birthday.
Well, that's good.
No more crossed.
No, we're wearing a set of balls around your neck, right? You're celebrating birthday.
No more poop sack.
So you're canceling all your Avatar books,
That's right.
moving to Boom Studios Kids books.
Kid Boom or whatever.
Kaboom, I believe is the name.
Only Kaboom, only Adventure Time. And
And
Bravest
the other one,
Warriors.
Bravest Warriors. Yeah, it's like that's the list. That's the entire Boom Kids line of books.
There's some more, don't they? I thought they had a couple more
Do they?
properties.
Garfield and the Peanuts.
Are those like still coming out regularly?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, maybe we should introduce ourselves because we haven't been on the show for a long time.
At least I haven't. I've not been on here. All right. I don't even know who I am anymore.
You're moving to Japan, I think.
Eventually, yes.
Live from Japan.
Not yet.
That's gonna cause a you're gonna be what are how many hours ahead are they? Aren't they like at night
13.
right now?
13.
Damn. That's gonna be a
Michiwa, Mika-san.
Close.
Well, I'm Mike.
I'm Micah.
And I'm Bill.
There you
That's
go.
Ray.
This is all new Geek Brunch.
All new?
Yes.
I did not get the memo.
Relaunching.
Well,
Yes,
you've
we are now
changed.
focused on Barbies and Kaboom.
My Little Pony.
We are the Brony Hour.
Ugh.
Welcome to the Brony Hour. We are hipsters.
Pardon me while I gag myself.
Pardon me while I wax my mustache.
So what you been up to, Micah? School?
School, work, busy life, everything is great.
Well, that's good. It's great.
No, I have been extraordinarily busy with school and work. Work is doing the thing where they're getting worse and worse by the day.
What do you mean,
Work
busier or worse?
is getting busier, and then like the way they're deciding to do management stuff is phenomenally absurd. I mean, the thing is, I work for what is, I guess, technically a mid-sized company. But like, everyone thinks of themselves as a small business until you become like a mega corporation. That's just how it goes. But like, it's like a mid-sized company. It's like 100 plus employees at certain times. It's down to like 70-ish now, but like, it's not like a minor operation by any means. But it was started by someone who worked as a dental technician at one point in time in his life, and he owned the lab and ran it as a lab. I mean, of course, the goal was always to make a profit, but like he did it from the standpoint of I'm running a high quality like dental laboratory situation, right?
Low politics, low overhead, mostly
Yeah,
work.
right. And he is basically retiring out from. I mean, he still owns the place, but he's from as far as running it goes. He is,
Taking a back seat.
yeah. And his son-in-law, who went to business school, and his only knowledge of dental industry is that he married into the family, and he went to business school, and so clearly he is fit to run a business, and so he is basically in charge of a lot of stuff now, and he's looking at it as a more bottom line type situation, and it's you know, it shows at times with some of the decisions that are made, and it's just not going to work out well for everyone involved.
So it's like you went public, but you didn't really go public.
Right. It's actually very much like that. And, I mean, for instance, one of the things is we used to have someone who worked at the company for like a billion years do all of our payroll stuff, right? And so she retired, and we had someone else who was going to be doing the payroll. Like, she already worked at the company, and they were like, you're going to do payroll. And then, boom, we decide that – well, we didn't decide it. He decided that what we were going to do in order to save money for them is to –
farm it out.
Actually, yes. We are now underneath the branch of ADP, which is this basically giant payroll HR company. And it doesn't really make sense for us to do it, other than it's going to save them a little bit of money, not having to like do everything in-house and be able to farm out. If there's like any kind of audits or whatever, they can always just farm it out to ADP and not have to worry about it. But like, it's a bigger hassle for us. We have to redoing our insurance. So we're moving from Blue Cross Blue Shield to Aetna, and
That's fun.
It's a little cheaper to go with Aetna. The service is not nearly as good, and they're not accepted in nearly as many places as Blue Cross Blue Shield is. And Aetna doesn't really believe in out of network stuff. So like, if you leave the state, like with Blue Cross Blue Shield, they have a regional thing, right? But with certain plans, at least as far as what we had going on with us, like, if I'm in another state or whatever, it's not actually going to kill me if I stay with Blue. Like, I don't have to, whatever. Like, they have plans worked out where I can end up going to another doctor as long as they take any kind of Blue Cross or whatever. With Aetna, it isn't quite the same way, and it's a really complicated nonsense. Yeah, and now we're in insurance noise. But, like, it's a whole – they changed it basically to save money on their part. And while it might save some of the employees' money as well, the difference in benefits is
noticeable and inconvenient. Yeah.
Yeah, and changing it, and the thing is, they're changing it in November. Not only are they doing that, but they're also they told us this October 1st. They had a meeting October 1st and said we're changing our insurance, and it's changes November 1st. And we didn't have the meeting until this past week. We had it like on the 9th or the 10th. Is when we had the meeting, and we had to get everything finalized by the 11th on Friday. So, like,
if you're in the middle of a procedure or something, it's probably a disaster.
Which I am. And so, like, I'm going because I've been going to the doctor for stuff, and I'm going to the neurologist, and there's a series of things you have to do with the neurologist or whatever. And, like, they're like, well, you should just hold off on it until we get the new plan. And I'm like, F you guys, cause I want to get it done now. And so, fortunately, everything should be done by October 31st for me. And so all of it will still be under the Blue Cross plan. But like, if I have to go back for anything after that, it'll be under the new plan, which is a different pay rate and all it's complicated for absolutely no reason. And it's majorly frustrating and time consuming. And we're going to get two W-2s this year. We're going to get one from the company and then one from the ADP company. And they're not going to come at the same time. And I don't even know when ADP sends theirs out, because we got ours from Sandy, who used to work there, really quickly, because it was all done in-house. So basically, as soon as the year was up,
What you should have done is form your own company to take that woman's work. Because now they're, instead of paying one woman to keep the books and keep all that stuff, they're paying a whole house to do it.
Yes. So there are like benefits for them on the back end and so forth.
Well, you're paying for them. You're paying for their lighting. You're paying for their insurance. You're paying for everything.
It's a little bit silly, but hey.
But you're employing more people. You're helping the economy.
Oh, totally. That money is totally going back into the economy. Definitely going back into the economy. So, like, that's what's been going. So this past month at work, basically all we've been doing is that is like that, and then they banned headphones at work, and so now everyone's
like,
what?
People hate each other's guts there. At least I hate all my coworkers, like every last one of them. Even the ones I like, I can't stand them. I don't want to talk to them.
Why did they do that? Because somebody effed up, or just because somebody's an asshole?
Because they thought that there was a lack of good communication, and a good business strategy would be because
businessmen went to a seminar and they told them that headphones are bad.
Basically, yes. And so now we can't wear headphones, and everyone hates it. And production is slowed down because people just talk to each other now, and they talk about nothing. Nothing at all. It just gab days. Just keep going, and they won't shut up. And they just yap, yap, yap about shit I don't care about, shit I hate. They talk about shit from 3 weeks ago, like it's brand new. It's like, oh, please just stop talking. You know, cut all your tongues out.
hey, at least when they talk about sports, you don't really kill yourself like I do.
No, I do actually. I do. They're dumb. They just say dumb things all the time. Like, and I don't care.
Do you know the Packers are winning 3-0 right now?
Fantastic.
That's new. That's happening right now. That's not something that they heard on the radio. The thing is, everything they say, they don't have any original thoughts to themselves. Like, everything is what they heard on CNN or on the drive into work channel. Yeah. So they're just repeating what they heard. And you're just like, I know you heard that just now because that's not even how you talk. It's like, ugh.
Hey, Barb. I mean, Barb. What the fuck am I talking about?
Where's Barb?
Which one of us are you talking to?
Bill. Yeah. I was going to... it's for your Tata's Day. I just wanted to let you know.
Oh, it is.
Yeah. Support breast cancer. Don't wear a bra.
That is the most asinine thing I've ever heard in my entire life. No, that's not true.
I need to get on Twitter.
The most asinine thing is putting pink ribbons on fucking food shit, and all the money goes to food shit. Actually, nothing of it goes to breast cancer research. Like none of it. That's the worst thing. But this is the next best thing.
I think for testicular cancer, I think they're going to do a Go Commando Day.
Yeah.
Well, it only works if you go with pants as well. You have to just go all out.
Oh, we're no pants day.
I wear boxers, so I'm pretty much commando. It's all loose.
But you gotta go and let everybody see it, though. That's the difference.
In commando?
Yeah, you gotta if you want to do the.
Well, I have a certain type of ball sack camel toe or what? I don't wear my jeans that tight. I'm not Keith Knutson.
For Keith, every day is testicular cancer day.
Yeah. Commando.
Whose idea was this?
Some dude.
Yeah. Clearly. People think when they do these things, they're like, oh, if you do this, it'll raise money and awareness. I don't see how. I don't get the correlation even a little bit.
And by now, isn't everyone pretty much aware of breast cancer?
Yep. Pretty much aware of it.
And that it's a problem.
20 years ago, insured? Some of the ribbons and things made sense because it was a thing that we weren't but now we know. We know, and we're talking about it. And all the money.
It's a bad thing, and we would like it to be cured.
Yeah. And the money that's going to, is it Susan B. Coleman who doesn't give any of her money to actual research either? It's one of the big, breast cancer research things that, was big a while ago. Wasn't that documentary, Pink Incorporated or whatever? I think it's the name of it. I'll look it up right now. I have the internet.
But it's about how they're not giving a big percentage to...
Yeah. And a lot of companies are giving not even small percentages. Some of them are just not doing it at all. They're just putting pink things up and taking the the marketing benefit.
The advertising?
The advertising benefit. Pink Ribbons, Inc. Yeah.
I always a couple of weeks ago, I was looking at a water bottle from somewhere, and it was for charity or whatever. And it says right on the bottle, it's 5 cents for every purchase goes to charity. It's wow, yes. That's so generous.
There's one of them. I forget. It was one of the companies that makes cookies or whatever. Had on it was 0.1% of every of all the profits we make this month go to, you guys just don't care at all. You're putting it right on the packaging. And the thing, some of them are...
Yeah, but 0.1% could be substantial.
It's not.
It could be.
It's not.
Yeah, but real.
It's better than doing nothing.
But they need the 99.9%.
$5 is $5.
Yeah, but it doesn't do much. It's more some marketing. Like, it's like if you actually wanted to get something done, there's another way to go about doing it, and you could actually make money. All you're doing it is a marketing ploy, and that money you're sending, like,
yeah, their priority is not to give money to the charity.
Yeah, and like you say that a little bit more might help, but like it actually doesn't do that much in comparison to what it's doing for the company itself. And these, like, the researchers get more money from individual donors than they do from
The 0.1%ers.
A lot of it goes back into like the marketing stuff for the companies themselves, for the like the charity companies themselves too, and all that kind of stuff. Like that money, like most of that stuff that's with the ribbons and the marketing things, so little of it ever actually gets into the hands of researchers. Like so little of it gets into the hands of researchers.
Well, probably what they could have done is instead of spending the money to change their labels or whatever, taking that money and donated it. And it probably would have been more money than they ended up donating in the end.
Yeah. The charity game is in a place where, like, it's all just free marketing. All of it is free marketing. Because, like, now you seem like a good person because you donated to breast cancer or you bought a sandwich that says, so everybody knows that you're a good person, too. Because, like, who's not going to, like, what are you going to be like, I'm pro-breast cancer? Like, so you put the label on there and you get the stuff and you don't have to give any money to the company. And the money you do give goes to a shady company who spends all that money they get on marketing. When they, like, for all these things, like, you can actually just give the money to the researchers. Like, they all take the money. Like, all the labs that do research, all the hospitals and so forth, they'll take your money too. And if you give the money to them, there's a much larger chance of them using it for actual research as opposed to, like, some of these foundations and so forth.
And this has been Healthcare Noise, episode 1.
It's not really healthcare. I don't know what that is.
Well, it's
charity noise. Nonprofit.
Nonprofit.
Organization noise.
Corrupt businesses noise.
Yeah, I never understood nonprofit because, man, some of them nonprofit people are filthy rich, man.
Yes.
For not making a profit, it's going into your house.
It's my salary. It's not. We don't get no profit after I get paid my salary. It's weird.
That was all the profit went to the woman's salary was like, hey, United Way, like the person in charge. They're so. Oh, so is it our regional one? Okay, like, yeah, like, one of our regional people from United Way had a salary that was, like, beyond the scope of what United Way actually got in. And so all the money literally was going to her. It was like, wow, that's way to go.
Was she taking, like, a limo to work every day? Those are my favorite.
I think she had a helicopter. No, this one didn't. But, like,
a lot of the time, though, when you find out about these people, you see what they've been spending the money on. And they're like taking a limo every day to work and private helicopter.
And a lot of
like,
them, and well, what happens is they have to do it because you have to keep up appearances in order to get money from donors, but it's never true.
you have to drive a limo to work to get people to donate. I think it's the opposite effect.
You have to compete with like the corporate, the other corporate types and the other nonprofits who are also big and have the corporate things. There's a whole world where money just moves around between rich people, like, in this really absurd way. And it's, like, for a lot of these nonprofits with, like, the really, like, big faces on them, and it's, like, all the money you guys spend at parties, you could, like, you don't actually have to do that.
Oh, don't get me started on the parties.
just nonstop schmoozing parties.
Is that where you go, Bill?
I love them.
Bill loves movie parties.
Especially topless and commando parties.
What was that movie? Magnolia? Not Magnolia.
And tonight there's going to be some sweet parties.
I think it's a Tom Cruise movie where they all go to like really strange, weird parties.
Steel Magnolias?
Not Steel Magnolias, oh, no.
Close your eyes. Open your eyes.
Eyes wide shut.
That's it. It's not called Close Your Eyes, Open Your Eyes.
No, it's not called.
I'm going to write that down. That's a good idea, though.
That's going to be your next comic.
That's right.
Close Your Eyes, Open Your Eyes.
Close Your Eyes.
It's a movie about someone closing their eyes and then opening their eyes at a party. Every time they close their eyes, they wake up at a new party scene.
Right when they open their eyes, you're somewhere new. Ooh, that's a really good idea.
Write that one down. Write that down.
How have you been, Bill?
Man, can I? I just got a bitch about something, I guess.
You don't have to.
Why is your icon a birthday? Let's see. This icon with a birthday cake is pissing me off. It's making me really angry. It doesn't even have a 2 there. It doesn't even say like 2.
How do it's I see that? To... I don't even know how to look at it.
What the fuck? Why do you have that there? That's what I want to know. It's making me angry.
Yeah, I can give you a... So the story behind that is I'm using my kid's computer, which is one of my old laptops.
You never sounded better.
Is it a work laptop?
What?
Did it used to be a work laptop?
What are you, the IRS?
No.
You're not supposed to say that. We're recording.
Look, it fell off the back of a truck or something. I don't know. It showed up one day. So the power, you know where the power cord goes into the back of a laptop? For some reason, they make the connectors really shitty. So if they get bumped enough times, they like won't connect anymore.
Yeah,
absolutely. 100%.
So, and that's happened on several of our laptops. So it happened on my one. So now I'm using my kid's computer. And I don't know, for some reason, I guess it doesn't store the icon on their server. I guess it's just local.
Wait, Skype doesn't know? That seems really weird to me.
No, I didn't have an icon anymore. Bastards. So I did a quick search of my kid's computer, and I found a picture of a cake.
What else did you find?
Here's one called Pictures of Me.
I hope he doesn't have crossed on there.
Oh, wait, that's it. Oh, that's the one I'm looking at. Never mind. So it does store it. It just stores it locally. Here, I'll try and find another picture on this computer. This is fascinating for everyone listening.
Yeah, hopefully we find an appropriate age material on that computer.
I know, I'm scared.
I hope this isn't a... Then we'll go off on another tangent about parental concerns in computing. But a birthday cake is fine.
I'm just going to leave the birthday cake. Oh, someone needs to evacuate.
What happened?
And I heard an announcement.
Are you okay, Micah?
Goddamn auto-playing shit on the internet. If I find people... if anyone goes to a... anyone links me to a website with auto-playing content, if I ever see... if your website has auto-playing content, I will find you and I will murder you.
Especially auto-playing ads. It's like, really? Yes. You think that's going to get me to buy your product, you son of a bitch?
I don't even know what the ad is for. I don't know what the ad is for. I don't know what page it was on. I just know that I'm not ever, like...
You're not on that page anymore.
No, I'm gone. Like, I'm gone from them, and I'm never going to go to them again, probably, unless I do it by accident. Yeah, it's... I can't think of a lot of things I hate more than like, auto-playing shit on the internet.
Yeah, Bill's like, gets frustrated when he hits the porn and goes on. It's like, damn. Huh? Wait, what was that?
Those are, man, websites that are, like, are clearly geared towards like 18-year-old like dudes or whatever who always have like scantily clad like women on the sidebars or like adult friend finders on somewhere. Like those are the best websites on the planet.
What are you trying to tell me, Micah? Is this
No, I'm just telling you that like
is this an intervention for me?
I'm saying the internet's a strange place, and you got to be careful when you're out there. Got to play it safe.
All right.
Let's stop.
Some comics.
Sure. Motherfuck.
Stop. Micah, just put down the porn. Take your hand off the mouse and your other hand off something else.
Daryl knows how to do it, right? Like, he watches
the
time he's podcasting, but he knows how to turn the volume down.
I need the volume up so I can hear you guys. I just clicked on... Don't ever search for stuff on the internet while you're doing a podcast. Don't search for anything.
Just set fire to the rain. How do you set fire to rain?
You... I don't know.
Didn't it happen in that
show? Some kind of accelerant into it.
And it
or
was
be on a sci-fi show.
Or maybe like rain of fire, like with the dragons. And so the dragons were shooting fire with the rain, possibly.
Shooting fire with the rain. Is that what that song's about, dragons?
I think it's about...
a bad relationship.
No. I think it's about her being annoyed at everything in general.
Ah.
Being a crappy pants. She's a big crappy pants.
Well, I read a good book. It's called Sex Criminals.
I read that.
And
sexy time.
I thought it was sexy. I learned a lot about different positions I didn't even know about. I was like, what the hell's that? I got to try that. That's awesome. But no,
have
it's
you tried them?
No, I have not. I don't think I'm young enough to do it anymore because they're crazy. You have to be able to not hurt yourself or pull a muscle or be in shape.
There is a... Yeah, okay. Now, at one point, one girl is describing sexual positions to the other girl. And the further they go on, the more absurd they get.
Yeah. There was the E.T. move where when she's putting M&M's... She's putting M&M's in his ass. She's shooting it out of his penis.
Who is the team on that book?
Matt Fraction and...
Chip Zarsky.
I liked his art.
Yeah, it was really good. I liked it as well.
So, yeah, I didn't know what this was, but it's like an unusual, at least the first issue was pretty unusual, an unusual take on a girl that every time she has sex, she freezes time. Like, I don't know how far it freezes time, but it's like everything in her surroundings, time just shuts down.
Yeah, for like, was it like 15 minutes or something?
Yeah, and then everything goes back to normal. And she doesn't know what happens. It's just like one day she gets home from school and she had a bad day and she goes and takes a bath and she masturbates and she climaxes and she realizes, why is the water in the tub just stop? It stops running. It just freezes in time, and she walks around and notices everything's frozen, and she finds out it's a peaceful time. Like, she likes it a lot because she's under a lot of stress because her father was killed by an employee that went nuts, right, Bill? I think that's what happened. Is he there was the stock market crashed or it did something bad, and one of the workers went into the building and killed the workers there, and her father was one of them. So the mother's in a deep depression. She's kind of like growing up by herself because her mother's in such a funk, and she doesn't have a lot of friends. And she finally masturbates, and she doesn't know, well, is this normal? Does time really freeze when you come?
Yeah, so she's trying to find out. She's trying to like question her friends, but she doesn't want to just come out and like admit that she's doing this, so she's kind of so she assumes that that's how it is for everyone, right? When at first,
yeah, at first she assumes that it's like that for everyone. Everybody thinks she's a freak when she starts asking questions. She does a lot of research on her own to try to find out, but she doesn't find out anything. And then as she ages, she meets this guy that can do the exact same thing, and they freak out because they have sex. And they both freeze time, and after time is frozen, they're both awake. And I guess that leads us into what the next issue is going to be. And it's like they can freeze time so they can become criminals and rob stuff, I guess. Right, Bill? I
think right. And that's kind of how the story started out. Because it starts out in the present where they're in a bathroom, and people are trying to break down the door. And there's some kind of nefarious force, because one of the guys has like the police are like talking to them on the megaphone, you know, come out with your hands up or whatever, and then someone else grabs the megaphone with this, and they use like black background in the bubbles, so it's like some kind of the bad guy, I guess.
say it, and he's like, "We're coming in after you." And then they start having sex, and then it jumps back to the past. So it looks like they're setting up where now they've met each other, and they're gonna figure out how to use these powers and gonna do crimes. Because if you can freeze time, what are you gonna do, right?
Yeah. It was really good. It was really different. It had some humorous moments. It had some serious moments. Had good dialogue. The art fit the story really well. It's kind of like somewhere between an animation style and something that might be in Todd, the Ugliest Kid on Earth, kind of something in between there. It's a good book. I liked it.
And you get to find out a bunch of fictional sexual positions.
Yeah. The fleshy light switch. He like turns the light switch on and I guess he starts sucking his dick. And then they have this one, the chocolate McKitten. I don't know what they're doing, but it looks like they're pooping at the same time.
They're both pooping on each other's butts. And then there's Candle in the Wind where you put your
dick in the window.
Dick out the window and get it. The window gets closed on your dick.
The user agreement where she's got the laptop on his back and she's like jacking him off with her feet.
And this is all illustrated by the girl in the story. So she's doing these little cartoon. I think they're in the bathroom, right? She's doing it on the bathroom stall.
Well, she finally gets one of the girls that she called. Like one time she goes to all the sluts in the school and she's like, does it, you know, she's asking questions because she doesn't know what the hell, and they like freak out on her. But one day, one of the girls goes for a smoke in the bathroom, and she says, "I hear you want to know about sex," and she just starts drawing positions for her on the bathroom stall door. But yeah, it was unusual. I liked it.
It was good.
Wonder where it's going to go. It was a good first issue, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, he did a good job of... He did what you're supposed to do, which is introduce the character, introduce the situation, and kind of foreshadow what's going to happen in the series.
Yeah, it was good.
It was well done. But, I mean, it's Matt Fraction, so he knows what he's doing.
What else have you read, Bill?
What should I go to first? Should I stick with... Man, I got a bunch of stuff. I read a bunch of good stuff. It's amazing.
Just keep going.
Let's go.
I'm trying to... Okay, we'll do another Image. I did a red... Rat Queens number one. By Curtis Wiebe. Who did... what did he do? Green Wake or something like that?
He did Green Wake, but he did that one that I really liked where, God, what was it? I can't remember. It was where people were dying and it was like a romantic situation. Oh, man, I can't think of what it was. I'll find it while you're talking.
People dying in a romantic situation.
Yeah, it was good. I'm hit or miss. I gave up on Green Wake.
Yeah, so did I. I read the first... arc, and then
I think I almost got through the first arc and it was just too out there. I mean, I want to revisit it at some point because I like this guy's writing. It just was bizarre and I wasn't following what's going on.
Yeah. Now this one, Rat Queens, is more down to earth. It's basically a adventure type story where you have dwarves and orcs and all that stuff, but it's told in a more modern style. Like, it's all about sex and stuff. which I know that's redundant, talking about like D&D type stuff and sex. I know that's very redundant.
Roll a six.
Yeah, there's lots of six rolling going on. So this is kind of a more hardcore adventure type story where there's lots of blood and guts and sex. Which, it was good. The story is interesting. It kind of introduces... So the story is about these four women who are on this team called the Rat Queens. Because I guess the way it works in this world is there's teams of adventurers, and then they go out for different jobs, so they go out on different missions. So they introduce a bunch of different teams here. But the main one, the protagonists, are these rat queens, and there's these four different women. So in this issue, they start off, and the girls are in this big fight, and then they come out of the fight, and a bunch of people are dead, and then they get these missions from, I don't know if they really said who he was, but some orders came down. I think it was from the king or something. Oh, they all got arrested, and then this is the missions they got so they can get out of jail. I think that's what it was. So they show each of the groups going off on their missions, and then each of them fight these dudes in black, or this one dude in black, and he kind of kills a bunch of them, and then it comes up to these women who have to fight them. And it was really good. The best part of it, I think, is the art, though. The art is by Rock Upchurch, and it was really, really good. I'm not sure what this guy's done before, but it was pretty phenomenal art. He has an interesting... How do I describe the style? I'm not sure how to describe it. I'm not very good at describing art, but it's really good in any case.
Yeah, I had that on my to-read pile because I'm trying to reduce books, so I'm trying to read all the number ones. I haven't got to that one yet.
Yeah, it's good. It was a fun little read.
He did. The book I was thinking about was Grim Leaper. I love that book.
Oh, that's right. I didn't realize he wrote that one.
Yeah, he did Debris, too, and I just reviewed that recently when we talked. Right. Because that had Rossimo art.
Yeah, he's done a lot with Rossimo.
And he's also done Beautiful Creatures. I read that. And he's done Intrepids. I have not read that. And Peter Panzerfaust is probably what he's noted for. I didn't like that.
Yeah, no, that was not one that any of us liked.
But it's a Robin Hood thing, and I've just never... I mean, not Robin Hood, Peter Pan. Peter Pan. And I've never been a Peter Pan fan, so... Micah, what do you got?
Stuff. I'm trying to think. I haven't been on the show in like 9 years. So, like, what have I read?
So you probably read a lot.
No, I've been busy. Just trying to remember what exactly I did.
Probably
read.
Can't remember what he wrote.
Of course I can't remember what I read. I never remember what I read. Even if I write them, I write them down sometimes.
And he can't read his writing.
I can read it.
What did I write?
He was too busy to write clearly.
I just don't know where I put it. Let's see. I read Long John Silver. I read their entire menu. Actually, it's a book from Cinebook. You guys know Cinebook. They're my friends from Europe. Yeah. The first issue, at least, is barely about pirates at all. In fact, Long John Silver doesn't play much into the story at all, really, until the third book. It's like Cinebook does them. They're like these large, slightly oversized comics. So like each issue is like 50 pages or so. The first book is about, mostly it's about Lord Byron's wife, because Lord Byron, I think it was his wife, actually, because Byron's a weird dude. So it was Lord Byron's wife, and she's basically doing all this weird, like, plotting stuff because this dude she's, like, hanging out with. Just got a commission from England to go find some mythological city somewhere in South America or so forth. And so they're heading off to go on this adventure. So, like, the first 40 pages or so of the story have nothing to do with Long John Silver, even a little bit. It's basically all this weird, like, British intrigue and plot stuff where people get killed a lot, basically by having things stabbed through their faces a bunch. And then in book two, we get more boat stories. You're going to get a little bit of Long John Silver's past, where he works for some awful, terrible human being who, like, beats him to within, like, an inch of his life multiple times and leaves him, like, bloodied up, tied to the mast of the ship, basically, and really gross and gruesome. And then in the third book, we actually get, like, pirate stories. And then Silver comes in and murders everyone in a big, excellently gory fashion. So, yeah, I recommend it.
Long John Silver, that's the restaurant I used to like.
Hush Puppies.
I don't even know if they exist anymore.
They do. They have one in Albuquerque and Pueblo, but we don't have one here. They've been... Oh, all we have here is Captain D's.
We have a Long John Silver / Taco Bell.
Yeah, that's what they're merged with some unusual.
Well, no.
I think they're owned by Pepsi, right?
They're owned. Yeah. They're owned by the Yum Company,
which owns Kentucky Fried, A&W,
Pizza Hut,
yes.
Taco. Yeah, Pizza Hut,
Taco Bell, Pizza
Long John
Hut,
Silver's. Long John Silver, is he a real pirate?
Like fictional,
like Blackbeard?
Yeah, he's from Treasure Island.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
He was famous chef public... back in the.
Did he cook?
He started out as an orderly, and worked his way all the way up to have his own restaurant
on the U.S. No, on the MSS. No.
I've never read or watched Treasure Island. Can you believe that?
Yeah.
I can believe it. Not even the comics classic version. Didn't even...
I'm trying to think if I would recommend any Treasure Islands. Muppet Treasure Island. That's the one I recommend. That one's good.
That's the one you recommend for me.
I cannot think of a better...
That's the definitive Treasure Island.
Honestly,
there was a black and white one, like a really old one that I started to watch, and I kind of
terrible idea.
Yeah, well, sometimes I do that.
I wonder if that was any good at all.
I read Double Penetration 7. Oh wait, it's not Double Penetration.
What?
It's DP 7.
DP7. I got a full run of that series.
Displaced Paranormal 7, created by Mark Grenwald and Paul Ryan.
Yes.
And man, this was pretty damn good. It was the wordiest son of a bitch, though.
Grenwald is a master.
I'm gonna have to take a picture of the words on this. Every page is
like half text.
Look. It's like half text, but the art is awesome, what little you see, because it's covered with words. But it is pretty interesting. It's like I didn't read too much of the new universe. I think I got a little bit in the Night Mask and maybe one other book, but I never read this, never. And really? It felt like, I guess, like a Harbinger book or a X-Men type book or something where... There's a white event that happens, and during that white event, you don't know exactly anything about it, but certain people gained abilities, and this one focuses on two people. One guy that's huge, he looks like about 8 foot tall, and he's like hairy, man. He's got like the hairiest body I've ever seen, and then he's bald and has a beard, and... He's rushed to the hospital because he overdosed on painkillers. And one of the doctors there is trying to help him. And he's also a paranormal. Like, he gains abilities from the white event. And he's got, like, negative man abilities. But you don't, like, know. He can... Part of him can leave his body and then come back. But this guy tries to commit suicide because he's in extreme pain. And he's becoming enormous. And it... extremely strong.
Doesn't he like keep growing or something?
Yeah, he keeps growing and his muscle mass just keeps growing. And every time his muscle starts going, he experiences extreme pain. So this the one doctor takes them, I guess the hospital wants to keep him because and try to help him, but the one doctor's like, we don't have the facilities to help this guy. We're not doing anything for this guy. So he finds this hospital that's helping people with strange abilities and an ad in the paper, and they both go there and they meet the rest of the group. And then they, like any other, it has like the situation where the facility that's encasing them might not have good reasons for helping them. They have their own agenda, and they start to find out about that, and then they all escape, and they're like, we have each other. We could... One of the girls has the ability to take the pain away. Like, when that guy's muscle mass is growing, she could take the pain away. The other girl has, like, this weird... She's like a dancer. She can make things slippery. One is an older woman who can lift her veil, and she can, like, freeze people. And one guy can dissolve anything he touches. And then one guy's moving so fast you can barely see him. Like,
oh, the blur guy?
The blur guy, yeah. And it was really good. I've always loved Grenwald. Like this, he's always been a good writer. I kind of like skipped out of the New Universe material. And I think Knutson gave me this run. I'm pretty sure it was him. And I think he didn't give me a full run, but he gave me like the first 10 issues.
Yeah, I think it goes up to, let me see. I believe it or not, I actually have my whole stack of DP7 on my desk right now. 31.
Wow. There's
31 issues.
But it sounds like something fun to explore. Like, you know, Shooter, when they came up with this idea of this new universe, I think he was trying to create his Valiant before Valiant.
Yeah, I liked the new universe when it came out. I read pretty much all those titles.
And the interesting thing is the new universe is playing a big part in the Avengers right now, because they have like Night Mask and Spitfire and Starbrand and all kinds of crazy shit happening. But yeah, DP7. This was from what year was this? 1986.
It was the '80s. Yeah.
Man, is it wordy. I literally took me an hour to read.
I believe it. Yeah, some of these pages are woo.
It was dense. It felt like a TV pilot that had a lot in it. Like, a lot was going on. And it mostly focused on the two guys, but it started to unveil the bigger picture towards the end. And they can get away with a lot of storytelling because of all the words.
Well, yeah, I noticed as I've been getting rid of stuff lately, and I've been going through my box of comics, and I've noticed that there are certain, like, I mean, older books tend to be wordier than a lot of newer books in general, but there are a couple from the, like, mid-80s that are literally textbooks.
Yeah.
Just stocked with words, and I can't make it through those things.
Paul Ryan was damn good, though. I mean, he did good art. It just, they didn't do a lot of letting the art tell the story.
I wonder if I have any of those.
DP7, Double Penetration 7, number one. Keeping the sex theme going.
I actually have a page from Squadron Supreme with Paul Ryan art.
Oh, wow.
One of my prized possessions. Prized.
Same team.
Yeah,
Mark Grenwald.
Work together a lot.
What other book do you got, Bill?
I'm going to do this one. Clive Barker's Next Testament, number one. This came out a while ago, but I finally picked it up at a show and gave it a read because I heard it was good. I didn't get it originally because I didn't know much about it. This was one that was originally, I think it was originally called New Genesis, maybe, or something like that. But then they changed the name of it by the time it came out.
Because DC was going to sue him.
Oh, is that what it was?
I would have.
I think so, because that's a planet, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it's the opposite of Apocalypse.
Yeah, it's Orion's planet.
Would they have any legal ground, though? I mean, because Genesis, you can't
I think New
maybe
Genesis
it's a, maybe it's Sega Saga whatever was they had a Genesis machine.
You can't. I mean, Genesis precedes all of those.
So. It's in the Bible. Well,
no. I think that New Genesis, in reference to comics, might be in that like shaky area where they decided why even
don't
bother.
Risk it. Yeah.
Yeah. Just a guess on my part. I have no idea.
Is it Boom?
Could be. It's Boom. So this is a concept. Oh no! Concept was by Clive Barker, and actually it was written by Clive Barker and Mark Miller, but a different Mark Miller. Mark Miller with an E. And art by Jaime Yang.
Reyes? Oh.
It's Haemijang. I have no idea. So
good work.
And it's a kind of a strange. So the story is about this dude who I can't remember what his background was. I think it was this rich guy who like owned a company, and then he just left it one day because he had a dream that commanded him to go out into the middle of the desert and dig up this monument that was buried there. So the story starts out showing him going out to the desert, and he digs up this thing, and then it shows back at his old company, and I think it's like his... I can't remember who the kid is. It might be, I don't know if it's his son or son-in-law or something like that. Anyway, so he's back in California, and when his father's off in... Let me see if I can find out where he was. He's in... Oh, location unknown. He's in location unknown. So he digs up this thing, and then this being comes out of it. And it's cool because the being has like almost like tie-dye kind of swirly, colorful pattern on it. And he's this big, naked dude who presumably is God or some kind of a god. And then the kid is trying to figure out where his father or whoever went off to. Meanwhile, his father is off in this desert, and he's talking to this god and has this interesting conversation with him. And then the god starts killing people. And it was really good. The art is really good, and the story is very interesting. So I'm actually on board with this one. I'm interested in to see where it goes.
How are you going to get back on board?
I'll wait for the collection.
Huh. That one's done, right? I don't think I've seen that one solicited in a while.
I don't know if it's done or... Because I thought it was a pretty long series. Maybe they finished like the first arc or something.
Hmm.
Here, I'll read you like the end page. So the guide goes, "Let's begin. You will show me the world through your eyes. When I am ready, I will announce myself, and then the world will rejoice. It will have no other option." Yeah. So it's some kind of a god who's going to force humanity to worship him.
That's
yeah.
Looks like it's 8 issues.
Okay. I know it's pretty long.
No trade is listed yet.
It's coming.
Jaime Hong.
It was good, though. It was really good. I liked it.
Micah, you got anything else that you remembered or dug up?
Aliens Colonial Marines from 1994.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it is very much like...
Who did that one?
Everybody. Hold on, let me see if I can find.
I think it's Dark Horse, probably.
I mean, the creative.
No, the creative teams. There's like 19 names on the cover. Not on the cover, like on the first page. There's like a billion people. Let me think. Anyway, but I'll find out for you who does it. In a bit.
That's okay. You can talk about it. I'll look it up.
You look. All right. Okay. Cool. All right. So, Aliens Colonial Marines is about Colonial Marines. It's not that hard. I found it, by the way. It's Chris Warner, Kelly Puckett, Dan Jolie, Paul Guinan, Tony Akins, Alan Nunes, John Doe. I don't know what each of them did. Okay, the script was done by Chris Warner, Kelly Puckett, and Dan Jolie. The layouts by Paul Guinan, the pencils by Tony Akins, Alan Nunes, and John Doe. Inks by Paul Guinan and Ande Parks, Terry Pallett, John Dell, Bob Smith, Jim McDermott, and Jordy Ensign. Colors by Matthew Hollingsworth, Pamela Rambo, and Doug Jones. Lettering by Clem Robbins, cover by Dave Dorman. Designer was Heather Dornick. The editor was Dan Thorslund, and the publisher was Mike Richardson. That's apparently the,
Apparently, there's a video game by the same name. I don't know if it's related.
Oh, it's new, and it sucks, and I think it might be minorly based. I think, wait, not minorly. I have not played the game because everything I've heard about it says it's the worst game ever, so don't even go near it. But I believe it's based off of this comic.
Takes place after the second film.
So it's a comic.
Oh, that's a good... Thank you, Wikipedia. Takes place after the events of the second film and sometime after the events of the third film. Thank you.
Oh, sweet. Thanks very much. Okay. So in this, so we're in the alien universe. The second Aliens has happened. And so we are fully aware of xenomorphs and the shit, right? The book has a number of flashbacks to all the bad things that happened in Aliens. Basically, you know, xenomorphs showing up, people getting eaten to shreds. And so, torn to shreds and then eaten. And the book is about, like, these marines, this, like, a group of marines who are sent to a planet to do some research and eventually just shoot the shit out of everything. It's at least my assumption. I don't know if this, like, it doesn't say because trades are cool. I don't know if this was an original, like, a graphic novel thing, or if this was a series that, but I think it might have been a series, because, like, the pacing doesn't read, like...
It's a tennis series.
Okay. Because it's, like, 200 pages long. 200 pages, all, like, 220-something, all comics.
There were so many people, too, I think it might have changed...
I think it must have changed, like, in between things.
It looks like there were... Are there different arcs within it? Or is it just one ongoing...
No, it's one ongoing thing, but, it moves from different scenes here and there. Like, the beginning of it is, like, this... I forget the name of the guy, because it's been a while. But, he's sad because... people died before, and part of it may or may not have been some of his fault or whatever, because he's a cocky hothead dude or whatever, right? So there's that character. It's the beginning of it. It's him, and you're getting flashbacks from apparently he fucked up really bad. It's not the easiest to, like, keep track of on the very first issue, I guess. At least in the way they do the flashbacks on it. But once the story... moves to the alien shooting stuff, it becomes much easier to follow. But you have these crew, and they're horribly dysfunctional in, like, the most generic dysfunctional marine crew ways. Like, you know, they pick fights with each other for no good reason, and some people are too damn serious, and some people are too damn jokey, and it gets all, like, melodrama while they're in space. And there's an android who's clearly, like, you know... There's something fishy because in Aliens, the androids are always fishy.
You have to have the one fishy android.
Yeah, like...
Can we trust him or not?
In this universe, why? Like, why do you even deal with these things still? Like, drop them out the airlock immediately.
Like, haven't enough of them gone rogue?
Like, it happened in Prometheus, and it was like, God, guys, really? Like, stop it.
Yeah, but didn't that one guy save the day in Aliens?
Yes! Yeah, but, and I think the guy, and he saves the day in Aliens Colonial Marines, spoiler, for this book that's 26 years old. But, like...
And they just based a video game on it now? Weird.
Yes, now.
Oh, okay.
Yep, I know, timing is everything, right? I think they're just, like, they were making a video game about, like, shooting some sort of alien things, and they figured, well, we have Marines, and we're shooting Xenomorphs. So why don't we just take this license that we already have the rights to? Like, the story behind the game is interesting, too, because, like, it was outsourced and outsourced again, sort of. Like, there's a company who was supposed to be doing it, and then they
The outsourcers outsourced?
Basically, yeah. And the game turned to shit. And the one company whose name is Gearbox, like, tried distancing themselves from it. Like, oh, we didn't really develop that one. But, like, they're the ones who got the money to pay for it, and they were... Like, maybe rumors of them using some of the money they use for they got from aliens, colonial marines, to do other stuff. It became a bit of a mess. So, but yeah, this book has, like, the plot gets really thin in the middle, like really thin. There's a couple more flashbacks and, like, these training sequences where they shoot a bunch of aliens that are not real and explode them up. I think they're not real. Maybe they all died. But, like... Oh, no, that's not a training sequence. I think that's, like, they're actually on a weird truck, and there's giant aliens coming out of the water, and everything just gets really fucked up. But it looks funny. It looks the way they make training sequences look, like computer, like VR stuff, because the background is water, but it's not, like, regular blue water. The tinting and the coloring out in is weird. And so I kept thinking it was, like, a VR mission to some degree, but it was actually supposed to be real, but... I think that's just a case of bad coloring, or I just can't read comic books. That might be it too. But it just keeps going on for a while, and they just keep going on these little missions here and there, and they keep shooting more aliens until they get to, like, the very end, and then they get to the climactic mission where everything, of course, goes to hell and everyone dies and everyone gets, like, just torn to shreds, and there's a sacrifice play, and then we find out that the robot actually is kind of cool or whatever, so he's not a total dickbag like we thought he was earlier, and everyone, no, not everyone was happily ever after because everyone's dead, but, you know, it's all good. If you can find it for, like, $3, I think you should read it, if you're into things. It's 225 pages long, like, my God.
I'm surprised they crammed it all into one trade.
Yeah, I just... All right, here you go. I wonder if it's even in print. Let's find out. Let's see if Amazon has it. What were you going to say, Mike?
I forgot. It was something about aliens, but I forgot. It's old age. Can't remember.
Let's see. That appears just to be one issue of Aliens Colonial Marines. Oh, well. I can't find it on Amazon. It doesn't mean it doesn't exist, but... It does mean it's probably out of print. One day, I'm going to read a book that's currently in print and has been made in the past. I don't know. Give myself 5 years. You guys fall asleep on me?
I read another Image number one called... No, I didn't fall asleep. Zero number one. And I liked it, but I don't exactly know totally what's going on. It was by Alice Ott. What is his controversy? I heard a lot of people saying stuff about him, but I don't know.
I have no idea.
I've never heard of the guy until now.
Michael Walsh... did the art.
He wrote that one thing that I didn't like. I can't remember what it's called now. Something else for Image. He got a deal writing for someone. I don't know, is it Valiant or
Suicide
Marvel
Squad
or something?
He did for DC.
Oh, DC, yeah.
Yeah, it's a number one, and it takes place in the future, and I really don't know why they show the future, but it's in Dover, United Kingdom, 2038, and some little kid has a gun to this guy's head, and he, like, tells a story of something that happened in Gaza Strip in 2018. And he's, like, a secret agent that was there to try to get up there's, like, these steroid-based super soldiers that are fighting each other through the whole comic book, and one has, like, a Iron Man device attached to his heart, and he has to go grab it. And it's unusual because there's the office that he's working for. These guys are this female and this male are like arguing over him and how to use him, and they end up banging and having sex. It's unusual. It seemed like it like a one shot, but I don't think it is a one shot. Like he finished his mission, the bomb blew up, and then he's off on another mission. But
yeah, I think it's an ongoing.
It was good. I liked it. I don't understand a lot of it, but I'm sure.
Flesh
it out.
Yeah, I will say I like the art a lot, but I like Michael Walsh's art. So yeah. I enjoyed it from the art perspective, certainly. And story-wise, I think his ideas are good, but he makes things overly complex, and I'm not sure why.
Yeah, it was a little hard to follow, but I think I get the gist of it. I think I summarized it. He's on a mission to try to get this device that these two super soldiers, one is a Palestinian and one is an Israeli, that are fighting each other the whole time. And they're up on drugs or steroids or something, and he has to take that device and return that device, and the device ends up blowing up. And it's weird. He's like the last of the agents that was trained without simulation. They mention that, whatever that simulation is. But it doesn't really give a lot of backstory or anything. You're just kind of like set into the story, and you just move along with it. So it was decent.
I got one. Mike, I don't know if you read this one. If you did, you might have even talked about it. So if you had, I won't talk about it very much. Akaniro?
Akaniro.
I think that's how you say it. A-K-A-N-E-I-R-O from Dark Horse.
A-K-N...
A-N-E-I-R-O.
I think I read the first one. Is she like a ninja or a pirate or something?
Yeah, she's like a fighter in the jungle.
I read it. I didn't talk about it, I don't think.
Okay.
Pretty certain I didn't talk about it.
So yeah, this is... I read it a little while ago, so I'm trying to remember exactly. But I think it's this world where there's like two groups living in this place. And it focuses on this little girl who's of this warrior clan, I guess. And these monsters called the yokai are attacking the village. And usually they're separate from the village. So it's basically her going off now. She's going to go on this mission to fight them. And it was written by Justin Acklin. With art by Vasilis Lolos, who I like a lot. I think I got it for the art.
Yeah, I like when you say Lolos.
Lolos.
Yeah, I know you've said it on another Geek Brunch. You're like, Lolos. You make sure to enunciate that.
He has a fun name.
Lolos.
So I really liked it. It's only a 3-issue series, so I'm going to have to track down the other 2 issues of this.
Yeah.
Or buy the hardcover.
Or I could get the collection.
For $14.99.
I don't know. When there are 3 issues, I might as well just get the 3 issues.
It's cheaper.
You already have a third of it. So
yeah, I already have a third of it. So.
Yeah. I read it. I remember liking it and also being terribly frustrated by parts of it.
Really?
Because like... Oh yeah. Not like... It's like nitpicky stuff. Because like it's only... And only because I'm currently in the middle of like doing a bunch of like research.
Yeah, so you noticed the parts he ripped off.
I don't know. Is it kind of ripping off when it's like clearly said as the thing, right? Like, but like, because it's supposed to be like just a really jacked up version of like Little Red Riding Hood, right? With a bunch of random Japanese mythos stuff going on. Like, yokai is just like demons. Like, it's not even that exciting. But like, now of course I'm out of examples, so I'm gonna sit here and be quiet, but like there's just like little like not inconsistencies, but like things being used in a context that doesn't work for the folklore from which they came from, sort of situation, you know? Like certain demons wouldn't act, not that they wouldn't act in a certain way, but like their appearance doesn't match up. It's hard without the example because I haven't read it. I don't have it in front of me. Maybe I'll look for it and I'll tell you guys next time. Like, Or I'll forget, actually, is what's actually going to happen. But
I want to see you read this and being that so pretentious, you're like... I'm trying to find the name of like one of the creatures.
No, I'm only, and the thing is, I can only even do it only because I'm in the middle of like that whole thing right now. So if I read it a year ago, I would never even noticed.
Like the Anu would never say something like that. How ridiculous!
What is it? They wouldn't say it because they wouldn't be in the situation in the first place.
They would never fall for something that simple. They'd kill that girl in an instant. This is ridiculous. They know nothing. I'm going to mention one real quick. I read Mercy Sparks number one.
Yeah.
Volume 2 number one. It was awesome. I'd read some of the original Mercy Sparks series, but I really like this Volume 2 one.
Yeah, that's Devil's Due, the company that went out of business and then came back.
Wait, are they? I'm out of the loop. They're gone and they're back.
Yeah, they're back. He's publishing like two books right now. One he does, which is Mercy Sparks, and then the other one is something that I think he's just publishing.
When they were alive, did they do stuff other than like G.I. Joe and shit?
Yeah, they did. They did quite a bit. Devil's Due got a lot of licensed properties, and then he kind of explored.
He did Hack Slash, right?
He did Hack Slash, started there. I mean, they had a lot of properties that eventually went over to Image because the people owned them still. I don't know his like publishing paradigm, but I think he let people retain rights to all the stuff. And they could take their stuff with them when stuff went bad. And I think he also was one of the dudes that did go bankrupt, had trouble paying people, but then ended up paying everybody. You know what I mean? He felt bad, and
that's good.
When he did get the money, he made good on it. So it was a long process, but yeah. What did you like about it? Mercy Sparks is the devil girl, right? That. I don't remember it all that well. I read the old one. I have the new one. I just haven't read it yet.
Yeah, she's a devil girl who is on Earth to wipe out angels who have gone rogue. So basically, Heaven has hired her to go to Earth and take out all the angels who have gone rogue, who are doing bad things on Earth. And she, when she's on Earth, she has the form of a human. And she's kicking everyone's ass. It was really good. And the artwork was really good, too.
Who are the creators on that? I can't remember.
Well, Josh is the writer, and then
Bollock, yeah. He actually did the G.I. Joe. He's like a huge G.I. Joe He-Man fan. And that's... Mercy Sparks is his creation.
Yeah, his creation. And the art is by Matt Murhoff. It is really nice. And so I like that. And then the other side of it is they show like the dealings in Heaven. They're talking about Mercy Sparks and talking about all the stuff that's going on. And they have like, I don't know. I'm sure all the, let's see, Colo Patreon and... They have Archangel Michael and a bunch of stuff. So they have a bunch of people sitting around in Heaven talking about all this sorts of stuff. And I thought it was an interesting mythos that he was creating with them. It was good. I really enjoyed it. More than it was surprising. I enjoyed it more than I thought I would.
Hmm. Yeah, I gotta check that out. Make sure or read it while I can make a decision here. I just want to mention a few other books real quick. I completed almost my entire Malibu Ultraverse run. Like, because I dropped off early on. I stuck around for the first 2 years maybe. And then when that acquisition started to occur and the Marvel characters started to cross over, I said, I don't want to do it.
Yeah, I did the same thing.
And then I kind of decided I wanted to find out what happened, and I completed my entire run, and well, there's a handful of books. I'm missing like 6 books I still need to get. And I started with Rune, Heart of Darkness, and I really liked that one. That's probably the last one they published of Rune. And I started with the first issue. The first issue sucked me in. The second issue kind of sucked because whoever was the inker or colorist, he made the little bubbles like too dark, so it was hard to read. You know, like he was doing like blacks on reds, and really it was just really annoying. And the third issue sucked me back in because they fixed the problem. They fired that guy. It was a really good story. It's about the seed in which Root, you know, it landed on Earth a long time ago, and it just absorbed souls essentially. And one barbarian dude went and touched the seed, and he was able to get a necklace of, you know how Rune wore it? He almost like wears like a necklace of infinity gems, if you will, or whatever. He grabbed it and became Rune. And then the seed, whatever it was, it wanted the source of power that it took from the seed, it wanted it back. So he came back after Rune to try to get the power back. And then there was a backup story that I guess in Wizard they had a contest like create a villain for Rune. And somebody created a villain and wrote that, and it was absolutely horrible. I'm like, God, if this was the winner, I'd hate to see what the losers were. Oh my God, it was horrible. But the first story was awesome. And then I started the Volume 2 Rune, which I talked about in the other Geek Brunch podcast. And I wanted to finish the story because it was so out there. It was so bizarre. It had like 7 plot threads, and I never could really understand what the fuck was happening. And I finally found out why I didn't understand a lot of it. And one of them was because the main story started in Curse of Rune, which I hadn't read. And they didn't like bridge it. You just Rune started right after that, and they assumed you read that. You know, there was like no bridge whatsoever. And it's cool because it's got these two brothers that are like, one has power during the day, one has power during the night, and they were like fused with the Rune blood in this place called Aladdin, and Aladdin was the agency that Mantra was always fighting against, if you remember what Mantra was. And Mantra is awesome. I'm also reading that Volume 2, which is now the babysitter who has the Mantra power.
My favorites were like Mantra and Prime. Those were my two main ones.
I liked the way Prime started. Like, it was my favorite, you know, Breyfogle, and I can't remember who else was doing it. Gerald Jones. But once they got into Evil Prime, when that, you know, the Prime that had the spikes on his shoulders and stuff, and I just kind of lose interest in that story. My favorites were always Mantra, and I think I liked the Strangers a lot. That was one of my favorites. And now that I'm understanding Rune a lot better, I think Rune has got to be up there. But now I got to go finish like Warstrike, Wraith, some of the others that I didn't really latch on to.
Yeah, I never read any of those ones.
I like Steve Gerber's Sludge, but now I finished the run of that, and I can see how that ended. I won't remember how it began, but I'll see how it ended. And then The Solution, I mean, there's a lot of different comics. Firearm, I'm looking forward to finishing that run because I really liked Firearm. That was another one I liked. That was the one that came with the videotape on issue 0. It was like, you buy issue 0, you get a video of the movie. I'm like, that's pretty damn awesome.
I don't remember that at all.
Yeah.
So did you get that back like from a store like when it came out?
Yeah. I used to order my stuff from previews when, so I'd always get what I ordered. Yeah.
How was the movie? Did you ever watch it?
Yeah, I even converted it to DVD.
Whoa! Somebody
asked me for a copy, and I gave it to him. So it was okay. It was good.
Yeah, it was very good
for a budget. And if any character you could adapt for a movie that isn't going to cost a lot, you know, Firearm is one of them. But that Rune story was crazy. It tied in Adam Warlock into these two brothers. And during the day, one became like this thing called Gemini, which was like this godlike being who thought he was good, but he was actually the worst of the two brothers when it came down to it. And the other one would become Rune at night. And he would want to kill everything or eat the souls and drink the blood and whatever. And they would be voices in their head, kind of like Firestorm when the other one didn't have power. But it didn't even finish in like Rune. It like ended in this thing called Ultraverse Unlimited, and I had to go find that to finish the story arc. But it was pretty good. And it really tied into like Warlock. Like they even though this was an Ultraverse book, they like reference like, you know, the Infinity War and everything, you know what I mean, of Adam Warlock. So it was quite interesting. I got sucked into that world. And then the last book I just want to say is Todd the Ugliest Kid on Earth number 5. It is freaking brilliant. it is so funny. It is funny. This one is a Comic-Con special, so it's even more funny because they make fun of the Comic-Cons. And the father decides to take...
like Joe Quesadilla?
Yeah. The panel was... I can't believe the panel. It had Joe Quesadilla and... Joe Quesadilla was like talking about like how they want to like make comics for the older people.
Yeah, the young kids aren't buying comics, so we're gonna drop that. Now we're gonna go for
the really really the old people.
We used to collect comics, but don't anymore.
Yeah, and then he was sitting right next to your Brian-ness, you know, which was Brian Michael Bendis, and then next to him was Matty Percent instead of Matt Fraction. It was funny as hell.
Oh, and then they had the awards, weren't they, like the Palmiotis? Yeah.
And then they have like Charlie Rose on PBS, like he's there and he's like he like has a coffee table that absorbs souls of dead or hymens of dead virgins. I'm like, what the fuck? And then that one father,
wasn't it like, I think it was like varnished with the blood from, I don't know,
the hymens from virgins.
The hymens, yeah.
And then he's got his son and he's like, can you take all these props? Like he bought all this shit, right? And he traded his car in so he couldn't get back. And he's like, the kid's like, Todd's like, I have to take all this stuff. Why can't we just put it in the car? And he's like, no, you gotta take the wagon back home and tell your mom that I sold the car, but this stuff's worth it. I'm like, Jesus. And then he's got the daughter, right? The daughter that wears the bag over her face, who's the daughter of the actress from the previous series.
Right.
Oh, it's just messed up, man.
She's drinking and smoking.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good.
And then she like tells Todd, let's slip that bag on your trouser snake and take my sword. I'm like, what the fuck?
And what did Todd say? He said something.
I can't erase. She says, silly. He's not a snake. He's a Ginsu. Oh,
Ginsu, the robot dog.
And then the table absorbs his sister because I guess she was a virgin. And yeah, it was bizarre. It was really bizarre.
She says, did you just say the C word? I didn't say anything. What's the C word? I'm saying the C word now. Cool.
And I love the scene at the urinal where like Todd goes to the bathroom and his two buddies are there, and that his buddy's wearing a shirt. He's always beating the crap out of Todd. And there's a guy pissing there, and he's like, this guy's in the KKK. And he's wearing a shirt that says, fuck Rick Grimes. And that guy's like, I write for Marvel Comics. They like hired this really old dude to write for Marvel Comics because they want to cater to the old audience, the people that bought comics. And
it was like Tom Wolfe or something like that.
At Tom Wolfe. That's what it was. This is just hilarious. And then Tom Wolfe asks Todd, like, what do you want to see in comics today? And he goes, books. I think books should be 50 pages shorter and life should be 20 years longer. Brilliant. Yes, it was a man. It was a good. This I haven't read number 6 yet, even though it's out. Have you read number 6?
No.
And I loved how they opened with that song. They opened the series with that song. What is it, in the year 2525 or whatever? I can't remember what.
Yeah, it's 20. It's 2525.
Maybe it wasn't that song. It was God, I don't know the name of this song, but if you listen to it, I almost wanted to play the CD while I was listening to the open or reading the opening sequence, cuz at least 16 panels were based on that song. But it's
2112.
It says when I was 17, it was a good year. It was a very good year for small town girls and soft summer nights.
It was a very good year.
It was a very good year. And then he goes to 21 and...
Where's 21?
It was a brilliant comic. It was... That's a 5 out of 5.
The Frank Sinatra song?
It might be. It is a Frank Sinatra song, isn't it?
That's what the lyrics you said are a Frank Sinatra song.
Yeah, it's a Frank Sinatra song.
And it's so far removed from 2525, I can't get my head around it.
I don't know. That got into my head.
What is 2525? Where did that come from?
In the year.
A terrible song.
Exactly what I was singing.
Yeah, I know what song. 2525 is like this atrociously bad song. Oh my goodness. It's by God, who did it? I need to find this out.
I'm gonna read off
Zager and Evans is the name of Zager the group that did in the year 2525.
Here we go, 1969. Reached number 1 on the Billboard Hot 100. Here I'm gonna read from the inside the front cover they have like previously. And one of the things they talk about, the Palmati Awards. So it says, rival to the Eisners, given out annually at the Granby Comic Con and Day Old Seafood Expo. The inaugural Palmatis were marred by accusations of corruption, as Amanda Connor won in every category. even ones in which she was not nominated, like Best Male Character. There's a lot of inside comic stuff in here. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, but who's reading it but people who know? So
right. Yeah, everyone who's reading it knows all the references. So.
They're making an animated show on this, and man, I hope it's close to the material, like an Adult Swim or something.
Okay.
Yeah, I know the creators are involved in it, so.
I just hope it's close to the material, because it is a dark, you know, you talk about dark comedies, this is a dark comedy. It even has like racial things, like on purpose, though. Like it's purposely. I can't remember what scene it was.
Well, there's one where he was. There's one black. Is he an officer? I don't remember.
Oh, that one detective that they have an asshole detective that can't find his ass. I mean, he's an idiot. And he wants to have – he's trying to hire a black cop to kick ass, but he can't find one that's in the precinct that is tough or has all the – what would you say? Stereotypes?
Yeah, it doesn't, fit his idea of what a black cop should be.
Yeah.
And he's making fun of him because he's talking about – the cop is talking about how he had orzo for dinner. And he's like, orzo. What is that?
Yeah, he got pissed when he heard the orzo. He's like, what's a black cop we eat orzo for? I don't even know what orzo was. I'm glad they explained it. But the... It is funny. By the way,
we don't know. Orzo is kind of tasty. Go for it.
Well, that's what the guy... Even the guy that... the racist cop said, you know, he talked to the other cop. He's like, send in somebody else. And he's like, this guy eats orzo. And he's got that. Orzo's delicious. Like, and then he almost wanted to beat the shit out of him, too. It's like, so he just goes out on the streets and he says, I'm hiring a black cop. But this, it's a weird series. And then there's two other series I just want to point out that were good from, really good from DC. Wonder Woman 22 and 23. Man, was it good. It had Highfather. They introduced new Genesis, and man, it was awesome.
Is this still the same team?
Yeah, it's still Azzarello, and well, the artists always switch. You know, they have, but the art's
right, yeah,
same. But it was amazing, and it kind of had an ending. You know, like 23, it really ended. They had this ultimate battle with the Firstborn, and man, it was awesome. There's some one-liners or, you know, just some sayings in there that the writer wrote, and I'm like, ah, that's really great, because war came to help Wonder Woman, and it was awesome. I really, really liked Wonder Woman, especially the way it ended. It was, I mean, it's not over, but it felt like if you just read 1 through 23, you get a complete story. Like,
that's cool.
Yeah, it was really good. It even said at the end of it, the end. And for some reason, I had like a brain fart.
Is that all gone?
No, he's back. It just said like that arc was done. Like it ended a story. Like, I think he's back in 24. Starting another arc. And then the other thing, I used to hate the Teen Titans, but ever since they did the Trigon story, and they're starting to feel more like it's starting to feel like a Titans book. It's just a weird Titans book, because they all come from like dark backgrounds, these Titans. They don't have like pasts that were legit. Like Kid Flash might have murdered someone in the future and is doing this for redemption, and Wonder Girl stole her armor that's jacked up, and it's her armor's related to the, you know, to Trigon, and Raven's kind of like the betrayer, if you will. Like, she's in the Titans right now, but she's working with her father, so you don't know how that's going to turn out. Superboy, we all know that this new 52 Superboy is kind of a jackass, so yeah, it's weird, but it's starting to feel like a Titans book, even though their backgrounds are jaded. They're starting to work like a team and do effective things. So yeah, I'm back on liking the Teen Titans. Any other books you guys want to mention?
I read Mara. That one I did read, and I actually remember
Mara. Oh, you finished it, because you talked
to
Brian Wood.
Yeah, Brian Wood, Ming Doyle. The book went in a direction that I did not quite expect. So it starts out as with this volleyball player who manifests a couple of powers or whatever, right? And so what happens is, I think I talked about like the first two issues before. In the third issue, she gets caught by the U.S. government. They want to keep her under wraps with a secret weapon, sort of like the ultimate nuclear option, so that, like, whatever, right? She has these powers now. Basically, she can do whatever she wants, essentially. She's like, she has telekinesis, apparently a little bit of telepathy. She can, I think she can change matter to some degree. There's a lot of things she can do. Yeah, she can change matter around. Like, basically, she's Dr. Manhattan, I think, except for she doesn't give people cancer, at least as far as we know. And so the government wants to keep her under wraps. And they're trying to hold her brother, not hostage, but I guess he's holding her brother hostage as a negotiating ploy to keep her whatever. But then they end up, hold on, never mind. That's all spoilers. Anyway, so that's how the story goes from that point in time. And then she figures things out, and then it escalates very quickly to a point. And then it ends up with her doing this thing where she gives like this really long, like two book long speech. That Brian Wood could have cut out some of that stuff a little bit personally. Just as me personally talking to Brian, you didn't need to hurt a speech for that long. It wasn't that damn serious. Especially for this, like, Brian was a good writer, but like, she gives this speech thing at the end or whatever, and it's a little bit much. It's a little bit much.
The like, monologue?
Yeah, it's a monologue. Because she can talk to the people. She can talk to everybody on the planet. Because when she was a volleyball player, she was all like wired up with cameras and so forth. And so she still does the same thing. And she talks to everybody on Earth. And it goes on from the end of book 5 to the beginning of book 6 to some degree. And it's just like, that was a little bit weak. But the rest of the writing is still really good. And then I like it ends on a decently good note. I like it. It's a good book, and people should read it. I don't know what to say without spoiling. I'm trying not to spoil the book entirely the way I spoil everything when I talk about it. So.
Yeah, I wanted
the shit out of everything.
I wanted to read that one. I just got onto the boat late, and then when I did look for it in the shop, they had like issues 1, 3. They always have trouble stocking 2 for some reason. 1, 3, I guess, like, 5, and I was like, I'll wait. But I might check out Trade or something.
The trade comes out in November, I think. Maybe it comes out earlier than that in comic book stores, but in Amazon it has it listed as November 12th. So.
Well, there's another book I want to mention because Bill had replied to one of my Facebook posts, and I think we both read it. Buzzkill.
Yeah, I was going to mention it. Yeah. Buzzkill number 1 from Dark Horse. It's about a guy who gets his powers from drinking. And it starts out, he doesn't like it. He's in AA. So it starts out, he's in AA, and he's telling this story and how he is he's retiring from the superhero game because he doesn't want to get plastered every night and wake up with a hangover, right?
Yeah.
He also blacks out, right?
He doesn't remember much. He gets toasted, has abilities, so you don't know if he actually kills people. Like, it looks like he does.
Causes a lot of destruction.
A lot of destruction. And
I can't remember.
One of the person in the AA group is the guy that's really helping him, like trying to join
the leader of the group.
He's really like a robot that's working for this agency. And the supervillains are the ones that are, it looks like they're going to attack him. The creative team on here, I think one of these guys is in a band. Isn't it Mark Renzik? Resnick? That name sounds familiar. The script is by Donnie Cates. And I didn't even know I ordered this. I think I ordered it by accident. The art was by Jeff Shaw. You like the art. I didn't care for the art.
I love the art.
It's very fantastic. Scratchy.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's scratchy.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Got me a little itchy.
I like to itch the scratch.
It scratched your itch.
That's right. Yeah, I love the art. It was interesting. Yeah, and then the ending was surprising, so. Or a surprising way for the story to turn, so.
Yeah, I had another question for Micah and Mara. Was that 6 issues?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay.
6 issues.
And I think that's all I had it for comics.
I have one more.
All right, you got
Eternal Warrior number 1 from Valiant. Written by Greg Pak, art by Trevor Harris. I don't know how to say it. Hairsine, Harrison.
I always say Hershine, but it's probably not right.
That sounds better. Hershine. Really good. I loved it. Fantastic. It tells the history kind of Eternal Warrior, or it starts in the past where he's fighting this battle and then jumps more to the present where So in the past, he was this big warrior and involved in all these battles, and now in the present, he's kind of retired from that and living in the middle of Africa somewhere, just hunting for food and living on his own. And then he gets a surprise. Story was good, and I loved the art. It was really, really good art. So another winner from Valiant.
They can't lose.
They've had a couple I haven't enjoyed, but
The one I'm reading out of instinct, and I like it, but I don't know that I can't point out what I don't like about it, is Shadow Man. Like, I think it started off really, really well, but it fell off the rails for me after about three issues.
Yeah, there's two.
I skipped a bunch. Oh, go ahead.
There's two Valiants I don't get. Quantum and Woody and Shadow Man.
Oh, I think you're crazy about Quantum and Woody.
I don't have any history with Quantum and Woody, so I don't really get it.
You don't need to have it. It's a brother book. They're stepbrothers that are complete opposites. One is mischievous and the other one is not.
Serious. Maybe I have to read the second issue of Quantum and Woody. I didn't really care for the first issue. But yeah, back to Shadow Man. Yeah, it was the same way for me. It's like the first couple issues I liked, but then, I don't know, the story just got... By the time I got to the end of the arc, I was like, I don't even want to be reading this anymore.
Yeah, it was weird because, like, reading number one, you're like, man, this is a perfect first issue. Yeah, like, it introduced the character. It did everything that you said it should do. Mm-hmm. And then it, like, once they got into the Master Dark storyline, it just got really bizarre. And I don't know if I... It didn't flow well. That's for one thing.
For me, I skipped a couple issues, but I checked in a few issues ago. The culture and the atmosphere seem, like, dead to me. Like, they don't... It doesn't feel like Shadow Man. Like, the older books always kind of kept in mind. The New Orleans stuff was a little bit more there. And it was infused better into the story. And it just felt like this could be any sort of supernatural sort of thing. It didn't feel nearly as separated from other books of a similar type to me.
Yeah, it was like once it gained more focus, it lost me. When it had less focus, I really liked it.
Yeah, and I think they also... It seemed to lose focus on the character.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't really get a sense of knowing the Shadow Man character. It was... More worried about the monsters and stuff.
It was more worried about the dark side or dead side.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. And the monkey in the dead side. It's just weird. Justin Jordan is a weird writer for me. He's like Jeff Parker. Like, there's certain writers that my brain just doesn't absorb well. And I haven't read the Luther Strode book yet. I'm curious to read that because that's his own Image book.
Right.
But what I've read, like, I hate to say it, but man, he's destroying Superboy right now. Like, it was bad. Oh. It was bad already, and I was like, oh my god, Justin Jordan's coming on. Maybe he could do something, and he made it even worse.
Yeah, Luther Strode, it was good. It was a good concept and started off good, but I have no interest in reading the second volume.
Yeah, I haven't read it at all yet. Like, I haven't even read number one, but I do have number one, or the trade. I'm sorry, I have the trade. I'm curious to see if I like it.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see.
Oh, and I read Rocket Girl, which I got from the Amy Reader Kickstarter. And I think the gist...
Is that like the Time Cop one?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not too crazy about time stories. I don't think it's badly told. I just didn't care for it. It's like a female cop out of time goes back in time to try to correct or to try to fix a corrupt corporation. And the art is beautiful. Like, Amy Reader,
of course, she's awesome.
But I don't think I like the pairing of her and that writer because I think it's the writer that kills me.
Well, I didn't get this because I hated Halloween Eve.
Yeah, Halloween Eve was... I
hated it. It was awful.
Yeah.
The art was awesome. The art was beautiful. I didn't... Well, personally, it didn't work for me at all.
I never read it. I was just. Did you guys talk about it after it came out?
Yeah, I think we briefly mentioned it. Like, we both didn't like it.
Maybe that's why we just didn't talk about it very long. I just didn't remember the reaction being so harsh. Wow.
Well, I think I love the art. It's the same thing. It's hard for me to like a comic if the art is great, and the story just doesn't go anywhere, or it doesn't click with me.
Doesn't work for you, yeah.
But the other way works for me. Like, if the art I don't like Buzzkill, and I like the story, that art style will grow on me. Like, by the time issue 3 comes out, I'll bet you I'll say, I like the art style. But it's just like, it's a weird thing for me. They always say comics are 50-50, but in my mind, it's a different ratio, because the story is what captures me. As long as the artist is a competent, sequential storyteller, like, sometimes I've seen where the art is just so bad at telling the story, it confuses me, even though the words on the page are good words, that the art can take me out. But for the most part, I'm more of a story guy. I'm like,
for me, 70, it is 50-50. Because even, like, if one of those two is non-existent, then, like, it's still failing miserably, right? Like, and so, like, if the story is just absolute trash, then I, even with really good artwork, I can just go look at some really good art. I can buy an art book, right? And if this, and if the art is trash, then I can read a novel. Like, I need both of them to at least be competent.
You're reading comics for both of them, so.
Yeah. I would like them both to be decent.
That's what it should be, because it's a medium of both, right?
Yeah.
You should judge it as a medium of both. My brain doesn't work like that, though. Like, if I was going 50-50, I might continue on with Rocket Girl. You know what I mean? Because the art is just really, really good, and the story is, like, I understand the story. Yeah, well, I guess the genre is not fitting. I have trouble with time stories, but there are stories like Kronos, what DC did, or Hour Man that was a robot, remember, from Justice 3000 or whatever.
Oh, right, that one.
But there are stories that I can like that are time oriented, but in a making a generalization, I don't usually like.
I only do it if they have giant boats all over them.
Like, I don't even like when Legion goes back in time. I like when they're mostly in the future, you know. But let's talk some movies, because I watched a shitload, man. As I was bagging comics, I tend to watch movies that I don't have to pay attention to.
Way to go.
Yeah, so I watched a movie called Chrome and Hot Leather, a B film from the 70s.
Sounds like porn.
this one was pretty good. It was really cheesy. The acting was absolutely horrid. The plot was a vengeance type story. It's like a grindhouse film.
Wait. Is this a Marvin Gaye movie?
I don't know if Marvin Gaye's in it. No.
It's not the Marvin Gaye movie? Because Marvin Gaye was in a movie with a similarly terrible title.
No, Marvin Gaye is in it.
God, I've seen this.
It's not good. I don't even know who Marvin Gaye is. That's the problem.
Who's Marvin Gaye? He was an R&B singer, is a soul singer back in the 60s.
Oh, shit, that was him?
Yes.
Oh, God.
He wasn't singing, so he didn't recognize. How do you not know who Marvin Gaye is?
I know who Marvin Gaye, but Marvin Gaye didn't look anything like this cat.
You don't know Marvin Gaye, the actor.
This guy looked really young. Like, I didn't know who he was. This must have been, like, early in his career. Because when Marvin Gaye was popular, like, at least on the MTVs and... Or he was killed, right, by his son?
He was killed by his father.
His father killed him?
I thought so. Maybe it was.
Oh yeah, maybe I thought it was his son, but I don't know shit. But
it's okay.
Anyway, yeah, it is Marvin Gaye. I'm looking at the. Anyway, the acting was terrible.
It's bad. It's
but bad. The director was Lee Frost. This. It's about a motorcycle gang that. They're like driving by these two hot chicks in the car, and they're like, "Hey, baby, pull over," and all this stuff, and they get scared, you know, because it's a whole group of motorcycle gang, and they want to try to get away from them. So she like speeds up and then turns a corner, and all the bikes fall down, you know, as they're going over, and they get pissed. But there's this one guy that gets so pissed that he follows them, and then he pulls out a chain like Ghost Rider. And he starts swinging it, and it hits their windshield, and then they, like, drive off a cliff. Well, one of the girls that was in that car was the fiancé to a Green Beret guy. And that Green Beret guy goes seeking vengeance against the motorcycle gang. But if you're into the B-films, it's a must-watch. If you can't stand bad acting and you hate this shit, then I would not recommend to even attempt to watch it. Wow, I'm impressed.
What if you're a Marvin Gaye fan?
No, right off the bat, he plays a very small role. There's four Green Berets and they mostly focus on this guy Mitch. He's like the main Green Beret, and the other three Green Berets just help him. And the most scene that Marvin Gaye has is with his shirt off driving a motorbike as he's learning to drive a motorcycle in the dirt. And then later on that scene plays a big part because they take the motorcycle gang to this like mud swampy area where they practice with dirt bikes so they know how to drive on it. And the motorcycle, you know, the street motorcycle gang can't handle it. They're falling in the mud and all kinds of shit. But that's like his biggest role in that is like they show him with his shirt off driving in the mud. But he has a couple of lines in there as he's trying to help, you know, the one Green Beret get all of the – there's one Green Beret and then there's three buddies. And they barely – those three buddies play just no other part than they're helping. You know, they don't even like – they're not even like – major characters. You don't get any depth on them. They're just there. And Marvin Gaye is one of those buddies. So that was one. And then I watched Switchblade Sisters.
Wait, what?
Switchblade Sisters.
You haven't seen that one already?
This one was really good. I liked it. It was a gang. This one is by director Jack Hill. I don't recognize any of the cast. Marvin Gaye's not in this one. But this was rated off 1975. It's a cult classic. And it's about this girl gang that really hangs out with this guy gang, and they follow him everywhere. And one of this girl's – there's two main characters. One of them is the girl to the main gang leader who's pregnant with this baby and then – or going to be pregnant with this – baby. Well, she is pregnant with this baby. How are you gonna be? Unless she's pregnant with this baby, and then the other one is just
a time cop situation. Yes. There you go.
A badass fighter that can fight. And there's this the key thing that I remember out of this one is I don't think I've ever seen a gunfight at a roller rink before, but there's like machine guns everywhere and gangs being slaughtered and kids that are skating, and there's like a slaughter at a roller rink. It's really crazy, and it's got like a post-apocalyptic feel because these guys don't give a shit. They just have these gunfights like in the middle of the street. But it's interesting, and this was my favorite of the crappy films that I watched. Switchblade Sisters on Instant Netflix, instant streaming. And then the third one I watched was Dead End. And the thing that about this horror movie that stood out is it had some really good actors. It had Ray Wise, and I think Lynn Shaney is the next one. But this story is about the guy that kind of decides to take a shortcut as he's going to a family Christmas outing. And they end up on this one street they can never get off of. And it is just really bizarre. And there's like this dead guy that would take... they're picking him off one by one, essentially. And then it has an ending like, you know, one of the, it kind of falls into the same type of, as most horror predictable movies have, but it was still pretty good and the acting was really good, so I'd recommend it. As you're bagging comics, these three movies all pass the mic test. And then I started Barbarian Queen, but I didn't finish it. That one wasn't as good. Oh, and I watched back to B films that aren't B films. I watched Machete Kills. That was really good. I liked it a lot.
Good.
It had Carlos Estevez in it.
Yeah, I saw that.
It also has Mel Gibson, Lady Gaga, the girl from Modern Family.
Why is Mel Gibson in it?
He's the main villain. I think he gets every controversial person that he could get.
Basically.
Like, Ray Rodriguez is like, who's shit on people on TV? Mel Gibson, let's get him. Oh, Charlie Sheen's a guy. Let's make him a major character because he just had drank himself to death. You know, anybody that's really controversial, he wants in his film, in Machete Kills. And they, like, show a preview of the... It, like, leads into the next movie. I wonder if it's just a joke or if they'll really make it. But it's, like, Machete Kills again in space.
Yeah, no, that's real. That's... At least that's the plan.
Yeah. So it leads into the... If this is a trilogy, kind of like his other trilogy, right? With Desperado and stuff.
El Mariachi
and the other
one. Once Upon a Time in Mexico.
You go. If this is a trilogy, then we'll have some more Danny Trejo. The women he gets are amazing, man. They're sexy as hell. This is a good B film. Like, it's supposed to be, it's made bad, but it's good because it's forcing itself to be bad.
I don't know if there's anyone in Hollywood, or I don't know if that technically even in Hollywood at this point, but like, if there's any of like big budget directors who, or whatever, who work on a budget better than Rodriguez does. Like, I don't think anyone does. Like, he made Predators for like $17 and a stick of gum.
And he makes them pretty decent. Do you know what I mean?
Like, they don't look cheap. There are movies that cost more that look cheaper than his movies tend to look.
And they're not bad. That's what I'm saying. Like, the effects and stuff and the action, they're still well done.
Didn't you do those Spy Kids movies?
Those are good too. Yeah. Shut up. They're actually good.
I'm just saying, so much for the small budget.
One of the girls that was in Spy Kids is in this one.
Yeah. Well,
Spy Kids is where he makes all his money, right?
Yes. Spy Kids is where movies. he made the first two movies made so much money, like, at least in comparison to what.
Good in the Banderas movies. I mean, that he made a ton of money off of El Mariachi because he made it like off of 20 cents.
Yes, that's what he does.
Down into like
borrowed video cameras to make
it. Yeah, it was like home video cameras, and he turned that into like a fortune. And then he's done like From Dusk Till Dawn with Tarantino and Grindhouse, which failed miserably, but it was awesome. Planet Terror. Yeah, he's a director I like a lot.
Not Spy Kids. What's the one that got canceled but not... Like, it's the sequel to the Frank Miller thing.
The sequel to the Frank Miller thing.
Spirit?
God, the Spirit? No, God off. God? Fuck. Not Frank Miller. Yeah, Frank Miller. No. Black and white. Shit everywhere.
Oh, Sin City.
God damn, yeah. Wow, that was really hard. Why was that so hard?
You should have said comic book. You should have thrown the word comic book in there.
I got Frank Miller and shit. It was close.
Frank Miller shit.
But like, he's doing... like, I don't know if that's even coming out anymore. Is that still happening? Like, I thought it was supposed to be out by now. It was supposed to be out like 2 years ago.
It's still in works. They're making... I saw the preview for 300... The next 300, too.
That looks atrocious.
It's 301?
Life, yeah. No, it's not 301. It's like 300.
It's 300.
Some
rise,
name
of a, rise of a Empired Legion of Doom or something, maybe.
300.1.
And the other movie I want to point out that I really liked a lot that I watched last night with Barb was Hitchcock. I finally saw that with...
yeah, that's good.
I really enjoyed it, and I liked how they focused... They just focused pretty much on the movie making of Psycho. Like, they didn't delve into everything. They just...
Yeah, they kept it contained.
It was just fascinating because... I hope some of it's true because he kind of went against the grain. He funded his own movie because Paramount pretty much said, fuck you, nobody will want to watch this. And it turned out to be his greatest piece ever. And him and his wife even like refinanced their house and everything just to make the movie. And if anything, his wife, I think, is what changed the movie because... She's the one that suggested the music. Like, he didn't want to do the zzz, 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 you know, the music that made Psycho popular, and she wanted that, made it happen, and she had like a lot of great ideas, and he always thought she was having an affair, and she wasn't.
But didn't she step in when something happened to him?
Step in? Oh yeah, he got really ill. He had an anxiety attack. He started to freak out. Because he started thinking his wife was having these writing sessions with another writer, and they were having him on the beach. And
the guy, to you know Hitchcock's credit, the guy wanted to get with her, right?
Yes, yeah,
but I think he wanted to get with any of them. And,
yes,
and I think the way they portrayed her is she just wanted attention. He would ignore her.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I really think a man is as strong as the woman that's by him. I don't know. Because the woman is what sometimes makes the man. And in this case, it might have been that. At least they portrayed it like that. Because it sounded like everything that she did helped him succeed. Or fail. She was there when he failed. Like, I didn't realize that Vertigo failed. Like,
Yeah, that was interesting.
Because I saw Vertigo, I loved it.
And well, it's hard now to think about it.
It's just like real
success of him.
Yeah, it's just bizarre.
He wasn't like Alfred Hitchcock in the 60s. He was just like the director. Yeah.
But the way this one opens up is he starts off successful because North by Northwest just hit.
Yeah.
And that was blockbuster.
Yeah, so it was just the start of his success.
And then he was going to hit it with this film, and a lot of people wanted him to direct, like, Diary of an Anne Frank and do other stuff, and he became fixated with Ed Gein. And Ed Gein's a fascinating dude because that dude drove the whole Texas Chainsaw Massacre franchise and also inspired Psycho.
Mm-hmm.
And Ed Gein really only killed, I think, like, two people, but it was a grave... He would do stuff.
He did more than two people.
I think
it's more than two.
No, it was only a handful. It was only like two people. He would go steal bodies. I watched the documentary on Ed Gein. So he would take bodies from the grave. He would dig them up and then skin them and then keep body parts in his house. And but I think he only murdered. I'll have to Google it. But I think he only murdered two people, and one was by accident. Like somebody found out, and he didn't have a choice. But there is a movie, if you're interested, called Ed Gein.
Yeah.
I did watch that. But they did have a lot of Ed Gein tied into this movie. So it's, and then I think Ralph Macchio had an appearance in it, like at the very beginning. I think he was the writer that was going to write the screenplay, but he was only in it for 2 minutes. They didn't show him. So yeah, Hitchcock was pretty damn good. I thought it was great. Good acting. And it had my woman in it, so I was happy. She played the one actress that got hit. Zit, zit, zit.
I have no idea who you're talking about.
Janet Leigh? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, she played.
Oh, okay. Wait, so who was it?
It sounded like... Let me look up what...
Who's the actress? Scarlett Johansson?
Yes, Johansson.
Oh, okay.
ScarJo?
They had another...
ScoJo?
Who was the other actress that was in it? Jessica Biel. She played an actress that I think Hitchcock wanted to have early on in the career, and it didn't work out. But she played Scarlett Johansson's sister in Psycho. And the guy who did, even though they didn't show Anthony Perkins very much, the guy definitely who played him had his mannerisms down.
Yeah, I remember that.
That's pretty creepy. All right, what else you guys got? I know I just took a storm there, but I watched a lot of shit.
Movies. I don't know what movies are. I watched Columbo. I watched a lot of Columbo recently. In the first season of Columbo. Movie. Yes, they are. They're an hour and a half long, goddammit. Each episode is an hour and a half. So those counts. I don't know why they're an hour and a half long.
What was the actor on that again?
Peter Falk.
Didn't he have a thing where he killed his wife or something? What happened with
Peter
Falk? Yeah. I thought he had a controversial thing.
Let's Google him. I know he's dead.
Peter Falk.
That was recent, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, he died a few years ago.
It was after his career went down the toilet.
He murdered what?
There was some controversy. I just don't remember. Early films. I'll find it. Keep talk about
so Columbo. I've never actually watched Columbo, but I always mean to.
Columbo is the best of the detective shows because it's as far as the way it works is it doesn't do traditional mysteries. The way it does it is it shows you the crime. So Columbo doesn't show up in any episode until at least 20 minutes into the show. There's a crime that's committed, and you see the crime committed, and you see the criminal, so you know who did it, you know who's done it already, and you know how it was done. And what you watch for the next hour and a half, 5 minutes, or whatever, depending on how long it's going to show up, is him. It's Columbo figure it out, and Columbo end up getting the person to either confess or find a way to get all the evidence he needs. Because he's dealing with, like, extremely competent, for the most part, criminals it's usually murder. No, it's always murder, because he's a murder detective. He's a homicide detective. But I've only seen the 3 episodes so far. But someone dies, and Columbo comes in, and he basically, what he does is talk you to death.
That's how he solves.
He just comes in, and he's nice, and he's kind of like fake schlubby, and he just talks to you, and eventually you get annoyed with him, and then you make a mistake. Confess. No, it's like you confess by accident, because you just get confused. Or he just has all the evidence in front of you, and you're like, you can't get away. And you're like, gosh, darn it, I almost had you. But it's awesome because it's one of those old shows where, like, the pacing is very different from, like, modern television. Like, I don't even know if they could get away with Columbo these days the way, like,
Don't they have a new Columbo on TV?
Do they? Now?
Or no, it's Ironside. Never mind. Screw that.
Yeah, I know there's a new Ironside.
I get all those old cop dramas.
there are so many of them. That's
Kojak, Hawaii 5-0, they're all coming back.
Yeah, I would not be surprised if we don't. I would not be surprised if we get a new Columbo or a new Kojak like in the next year or two, because they're just remaking all of them.
Yeah, he did not kill his wife. I'm mistaken. I'm thinking of somebody else. He had a bad bout of Alzheimer's where he couldn't remember anything.
Yeah.
Because he was survived by his wife and 2 daughters.
So he clearly
didn't kill him.
So apologies to the Falk family.
Geek Brunch, Mike Myers specifically, apologizes to anybody related to the Falk family.
Peter Falk, not a murderer.
He's not a murderer.
As far as we know.
Right.
He had really bad dementia, it sounds like.
That sucks.
Couldn't find his
car. I know it was bad on the way out.
Yeah, it was really bad, is what they're saying.
The show is great, and I am a big fan of the way Columbo works. it's a good time.
I remember watching one movie with him, and it stands out in my head. It was like a murder movie, and I can't think of what the hell it is. Columbo was a long 1968 to 2003. It ran.
Wait, 2003?
Well, maybe they're including the movies.
I mean, yeah, I'm sure they are.
That's what it says here.
Hmm.
He was
Alfred TV movies.
Death by Something is one I remember seeing, but I can't remember what the hell it was called.
Hmm.
And it's sounds not, familiar.
It's about like they got people in a hotel. Murder by Death.
Okay. Yeah, I know that one.
That's what I remember seeing Columbo in. Murder by Death.
Steven Spielberg directed one of the episodes of Columbo.
Because I think in Murdered by Death, he played Columbo. He just didn't play Columbo. He just acted the same.
I mean, I bet if you do that for so long, it's hard not to do it.
Yeah. So Steven Spielberg directed it?
Yeah, he directed one episode of it. It was the episode where there was a writer. There's a writing team. They wrote these best-selling, and they were clearly knockoffs of Miss Marple, the Agatha Christie stuff. So there was one guy who wrote, and the other guy who didn't write. And the guy who wrote wanted to write solo books without, like, outside of the partnership. And the guy who didn't write kills him because he was jealous and afraid that his career would end. So he took out a life insurance policy and then murdered him. But they both had life insurance on each other because they were partners, and that's how that worked. But anyway, Steven Spielberg directed that episode, and it's wild how extravagant these things are and how generally obnoxious Columbo is all the damn time. Like, he's never not annoying, like, somebody. But it's fun to watch. Watch him unravel it.
Are you just watching that on, like,
Prime?
Amazon, yeah.
The first season is up. Like, the first 10 episodes or so are up there. But, like, the first... Then, after that, I'm not sure how the series works. Because, it did go on for a number of years. But there always are, like, these hour and a half long movie things.
And then you're going to tell us about Ironside next?
I don't know. I don't think Amazon has Ironside. Let's see if they do. I might watch Ironside, the old one.
I don't know if you all checked out the new American Horror Story, but it is awesome.
I meant to, but I had not seen it.
It deals with witches now.
The same? Does it have the same soundtrack?
Yeah, it has the same soundtrack, different opening. Same sort of actors. I think you have a dozen of them that are returning, and then they add Kathy Bates to the cast. But it's really, really good. Kathy Bates is a bitch. She was like a... I can't tell if she was like into like blood to keep her young or something. But she would treat her slaves like shit. I mean, really, really bad. She was like a horrible woman. In the past, it takes place in like New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
And she messed with the wrong woman. I'll tell you that. There was one of the women. I guess her daughter had sex with one of the slaves, and it not he resisted it. The daughter made him. Do you know what I mean? Like forced him, and he was a married man with a loving wife, and that wife she messed with was like a voodoo priestess. Fucked with Kathy Bates. But American Horror Story is awesome. I love that show. Every season I like how they take the same cast. It's just a show that you never know what they're going to do with it.
There's so many ways they could go with it.
Yeah. And they find ways to be really, really creepy. I mean, and you don't usually see that on TV. You usually see it in movies, and it's just a good show.
I like that it's short.
Yeah, it's short and has a squeak. I'm with you guys on like TV shows that have a small season. It really sells me because I think I have like television ADD. Like if it has, you know, 6 to 12 episodes, if it's like 24 season, you know, episodes or more than that, I just lose interest.
Well, I think when they're that long, they drag them on too.
Yeah.
You can feel it. If it's short, they don't have time to mess around too much.
I watched the new Robin Williams one. The first episode was pretty good, but then it's kind of like a show about Robin Williams.
I haven't watched that one yet.
The good one, the good ones or something like that. I can't remember what it's called. I don't know any other new TV that I'm watching.
I started watching Sleepy Hollow.
Oh, that one is good. At least I liked it.
I like it.
That one's better than S.H.I.E.L.D., in my opinion.
I watched one episode of S.H.I.E.L.D. and I'm never going back.
The second episode is better than the first episode.
I don't think so.
I thought. Wait, which one? Maybe I only saw one episode.
I thought there was only an hour long.
Which one was the one with the plane?
The plane was the second one.
Yeah, okay. I like the second one better.
Oh, the second one was okay. The third one just really made me say, do I really need to watch this? And ABC's gone off of our TV now anyway, unless I get an antenna.
What?
Just DirecTV in certain states is in renegotiations with ABC, the local facilities.
Affiliates.
And they want to triple their, like, the cost. If it costed so much, they want to triple it. And DirecTV said, fuck you. We're not going to pay that much for free TV. And they took it off.
Mm.
And I think the only show that I watch on there is S.H.I.E.L.D. And we watch some football, like,
Modern Family, don't you guys watch that?
Yeah, we watch Modern Family. That's another show that's impacted.
Does ABC have football? They don't have it anymore.
College football, don't they, during the day?
Oh, I think some. Yeah, I think you're right. I think they might.
They have no call, like NFL. No, it's gone. Except maybe one game at the end of the year or
maybe,
something.
Maybe locally it's a little different. They do have like a couple, but I know that like here, it's like CBS and
NBC.
NBC, well, they have the Notre Dame games, but like I think it's like local channels.
ABC affiliate, but they show it on ESPN.
Right.
Monday Night Football. And then the NFL Network has the Thursday night games, right?
Right. Sportball.
Yeah, I'm surprised Bill didn't chime in.
With all of his sportball knowledge. Bill, winning the points.
Bill loves sports.
I got distracted when you started talking about the facilities.
I have not seen the affiliates. I think there's a chemical in my soda.
There's lots of chemicals in soda.
I haven't seen like a single second of football this year, I don't think.
I've been watching a lot of the Denver games to root for them to lose, but
oh, good luck.
I've seen a couple of the Green Bay and Buffalo games.
Because I can't wear headphones, I know a lot about football through my coworkers.
But Sleepy Hollow, it was pretty good. What do you call it? Debut, and I like what they're doing on the follow-ons. It actually seems like it's a story that progresses rather than a story that's the same. Like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. seems like it's, you know, like CSI.
Not going to go anywhere. Yeah.
Well, it's like an episode.
Procedural.
Yeah, episodic. It's a procedural. You watch an episode, you don't need to watch the previous one. I don't like those type of shows. I like a one that leaves you on a cliffhanger and it progresses a story.
See, my fear is that Sleepy Hollow, though, like if it's going to be on for 22 episodes, they have a story to tell, but what point in time do they go, oh crap, we're actually going to be here for a while, and they just stop telling it.
And do then, a monster of the week instead of
the demons. And then like Abby and Ichabod are just running around being like, well, what's this from your time period, Ichabod? And he'll be like, I don't know. Let's find out.
Yeah,
that's kind of the feeling I got after the first episode, though. It seemed like that's the direction it was going.
Two and three, like, it gets... They keep adding a little more stuff to it to make it less, for a while at least.
It's formula-like.
And a few new characters. And I love the cast. Well, I like What's-Her-Face, and I like John Cho, and I like Orlando Jones, and I like,
Yeah, I'm surprised they brought him back after he died. Like, his neck was, I mean, he was like broke his neck, and then they kind of pieced him back together.
He's got to stick it together, and he kind of, like, wears a shirt that's buttoned all the way up, and it's okay.
But I kind of like it because it's leading to, like the apocalypse. Like,
yes.
They're bringing the end of the world, and they're supposedly here to prevent that from happening.
Right.
And, it was pretty good. I haven't watched the last two, but I've watched the first two episodes. I was too busy watching Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. shit to... But I won't be watching that anymore because ABC...
You can't watch it anymore.
I can. I mean,
you can go to ABC.com, I guess.
Everybody's saying you can go to ABC.com or get the app.
That's a lot of work.
Watch it, but it's too much work. Rather be reading some Malibu comics or something.
Even the ones that suck with terrible villains that were made up by kids.
Yeah. That's a fascinating company, man. Even though some of the stories are bad, they're interesting historically, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because they still mattered in Marvel. Like, they still have a Marvel history. Like, Marvel doesn't throw away their history. Like DC does. They just say, fuck it, this isn't right, let's blow it away. Marvel tries to, there's stuff that doesn't flow because they do what they do, but they're still moving from point A to point B. Yeah, I was disappointed in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because I thought I liked, Bill. I was the opposite of Bill. I liked the pilot with, you know, how they tied in the Iron Man 3 kind of to it.
And right.
I kind of liked it, and I liked that, you know, this guy was just going nuts because of the, what is that stuff called?
Extremis. I read it in the comics, and I never had to say it out loud, so I can't remember what it's.
Extremis?
Sure.
That's how I usually said it. Extremis. I don't remember how they said it in the movie.
Affiliates?
Facilities?
Facilities? God, I'm saying facilities, and I called Columbo a murderer.
rough day.
Man, I'm losing my mind.
you don't know who Marvin Gaye is?
Mike is like, Marvin Gaye and that? No. And then I go back and I'm like,
you've never heard of Marvin Gaye? No, who's Marvin Gaye?
He's that romantic singer. You got to get it on.
Let's get it on.
I just can't believe he was in that movie. Like, I still don't see him.
It was the 70s.
Yeah, but every time I picture Marvin Gaye, I think of him when he's singing that song with the, like, he had like a Van Dyke or, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like some kind of facial hair. And this one, he's like clean cut and he looks like really young. Like he could be like in his early 20s.
I think he might have been in his early, because he died when he was 44, I think. And so
the 70s.
This would have been like 13 years before that. So 13, 14 years earlier than that. So he'd been like early 30s, late 20s, somewhere in that range.
He looked like in his 20s. He looked like a kid. He looked like the youngest one that was in the Green Berets, that's for sure. Any other TV or movies?
I can't think of anything.
I'm still watching Regenesis on Hulu. It's awesome.
You just do anything with Genesis in it, right? I mean,
that's right.
Is that what you Google? You Google Genesis, and you're like, follow that.
Or even if it was going to be called Genesis and they had to change the name for legal reasons, I'll still get it. this is Regenesis. I watch because it's a Canadian show, so I watch all the Canadian shows.
Because you like them, or because you want to know more about Canadian shows?
No, because I like them. I like their sensibility, I suppose.
What do they have in sensibility?
I don't know. I'm not sure what it is exactly that draws me to them. But you typically like them, so. It's good. It's very sciencey. Lots of science.
Where were you last week that you couldn't record?
Last week?
2 weeks ago.
Sunday?
Last week?
2 weeks ago.
I don't know.
I don't remember. I don't know. I think
you sent an email out and you're like, can we record? And then you're like, I can't record.
Yeah, I had to. I think I had to go to a thing on my wife's side of the family. A family gathering.
I understand.
That's what it was. And it was a family gathering at this place. It's about a couple hours south of us, about an hour and a half south of us. And they had an interesting, the meal was, they had a big, huge bonfire, and then they had hot dogs and sticks. So you could just cook your own hot dog over the fire.
Nice. But what did you have, a turkey dog? No, what did you have? Turkey dog. I can't remember if you eat turkey or just fish. And I'm like, is there fish dogs?
It's a fish dog.
Ooh. Trader Joe's has these, corn dogs, but for shrimp, and I don't eat them. I haven't eaten them yet because they're too expensive. Like, it's like there's like six in a package, and it's like $7-$8 or whatever. So I'm never gonna buy them. But like, I want someone to buy them and let me eat one to see if they're like as bad as they look. Yeah.
Do they have tofu dogs?
Yeah,
I'm sure they do. They have everything.
Do they taste like hot dogs or?
I would hope not. Hot dogs are gross.
I like hot dogs.
They're similar.
Chicago dog.
But that's not even you're not even tasting the hot dog at that point.
That's okay. I think I like if you just told me to have a hot dog with no toppings, I would probably not like it that much.
No.
But
you can go to Fratello's or whatever, and you don't even know there's a hot dog in there anymore. You're just like, what is on top of that thing? Everything ever.
You haven't watched American Horror Story, Bill? How come?
I don't have a cable.
Oh.
Mm-mm.
And you don't have Netflix, right?
I don't have Netflix.
So did you miss the whole second season then, too?
I still had cable when I had this during the second season.
Oh.
This one.
Welcome to my life. Just pirate it.
I'll just wait for the DVD. Get it from the library.
Oh, they
just decided to bail out on your cable and just have Amazon.
Well, I have Amazon and Hulu.
Ah.
And I have the antenna for the local stations.
We can watch local channels.
That's right. I got no problem with my ABC.
Nope. Comes in nice and clear.
It's free.
Yeah, it's free.
Well, our reception, I remember when we first put in the antenna, we actually got better reception through the antenna than we did through cable. Like the HD was better.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Bastards. Charging us for worse quality stuff.
You're getting it directly. That's why, right off the antenna.
Fresh.
Doesn't have to go through lots of cable.
Didn't have to go underground under cables.
That's right. Cables. Any food that you guys have eaten?
Absolutely.
What have you eaten?
Just this morning, Claire and I went on a taste test.
Uh huh.
So we had we went to IKEA, and we got some crab in a tube, and some salmon in a tube, and some fish roe in a tube. I think it's cod roe in a tube. And we had that on crackers. We tasted each of them, and it tastes like fish spreads or crab spread or salmon spread. The roe one is a little bit too salty. You have to find different ways to use that one. But the crab one is good, and the salmon one is actually really good. So there's an IKEA within distance. You should go ahead and try that. They're not very expensive either. It's pretty good. Let's see. We had scones for breakfast.
Yeah, before you go off the IKEA, I just went to IKEA the other day, and I got pickled herring. Well, I got the dill herring.
Oh, yeah, they have those jars of herring. They have like 1,000 flavors of herring.
Yeah, I got the dill herring, and I got sour cream herring. Herring and sour cream.
We also got that they have soda there. It's called Swedish Festive Drink, and it's like it's not high fructose corn syrup, and so there's just like caramel and hops and malt in the soda, and it's quite interesting. It's a different sort of taste than what you get out of soda normally, I think. And there was pear drink and apple drinks and lingonberries and elder fruits. It was weird. They have so many different, like...
I did get some lingonberry jelly, too.
What is a lingonberry? It almost sounds like a dingleberry. Like a
dingleberry jelly.
You guys are eating dingleberry jelly. Do you know what a dingleberry is?
Yes.
And you eat that jelly?
Absolutely.
Okay. It's from Sweden, though.
Oh.
Swedish dingleberries.
Do they do anything to make them better?
They're different diets.
Oh, okay.
So it comes out different.
They eat better food.
Lots of fish from a tube.
Oh.
Lingonberry. We also got some cinnamon rolls from there, but those aren't really...
those are awful.
Swedish.
And they're bad.
They're good enough.
When you're hungry, sure, but like... If you step back, you go, you know what I could have done? Just open the package of Pillsbury cinnamon rolls and had a better experience.
What about this fish in the tube? You like it?
They make them in the store.
You like fish in a tube?
Yeah.
What do you do with fish in a tube? You
put it on a cracker.
Just without cooking it?
Yeah.
Oh, that's got to be... That's got to make some stinky breath, man.
I don't think so.
Well, you wash it down with some lingonberry juice.
Lingonberry juice.
Jeez. I would not have some dingleberry juice with my fish. That would be terrible.
Some malt beverage.
Some Long John Silvers in a tube and some dingleberries.
So which fish tube was the best?
Salmon.
I don't think I've tried the salmon one.
Followed by crab.
I've had one fish one that was super salty.
Yeah. That's the problem with the first one we tried. It was just a lot of salt.
Hello?
I'm still here.
You there, Bill?
Oh, I'm still here.
Oh. I heard a scratch.
You sounded like somebody moved.
I had to scratch my lingonberry.
I wanted to ask you guys a Kickstarter thing because I'm seeing this more and more and it's kind of getting me mad. But, do you think it's fair that you support a Kickstarter and you get a book after other people, like, that could buy it?
You're talking about Molly Danger?
Yeah, it's frustrating me.
I know. I find that very frustrating.
Well, even Rocket Girl, I supported the Kickstarter, Bill, and I got it a day right before Wednesday, like Tuesday. Yeah. But I could have got it the next day. It just doesn't seem fair. Like you're paying in advance. I think you should get the book.
Well, yeah, it's like you subsidize the book, and then other people get to get it before you do.
Yeah.
It is a knock. Like I did not do either of those two Kickstarters, but
But that encourages me not to. Why the fuck would I? For one thing, like let's say if it is solicited, well, if I wait, right?
Yeah.
I can get it on DCBS for maybe 50% or maybe 40% discount. And then I'm not paying full price.
Absolutely. And well,
Kickstarter, they're going to, pay more than you would full price. I'm getting, like, unless a Kickstarter says, like, I got a really cool Kickstarter, one with the mini comics in it, like I did the Tim Seeley one. And it's got like all the mini comics that they used to have, like with toys and cereal boxes and stuff like that. But I also got a sketch, you know, and the commissions usually are $60 or higher. So I felt like I got my value's worth. And from what I know of, those comics were not sold in stores. So I got something exclusive. But it seems like most of these Kickstarters are using your money to get a book out to people before you even get it.
Venture capitalism is what they're using you guys for, basically.
But doesn't it?
Yeah, but except you don't make any of the.
I'm like Pavlov's dog. Like, I'm pretty simple. You know, you feed me and I drool and stuff. But if you let other people drool and eat before I do, why would I want to pay in advance?
Okay, yeah, like my policy is basically moved on to I just don't use it anymore. Like, I'm sure I might if someone told me about something really cool, I would go. But I haven't done a Kickstarter in a while, and I was on it heavy for a bit. But the problem is that now, like, if I see a Jamal Igle or what's her face who did the Amy Reader, who did Rocket Cop, Time Cop.
Rocket Girl. Amy Reader.
Yeah, Amy Reader. If I see, like, people whose names I know, I'm just not on it, like, because what's going to happen, I know that their goal is to sell, because they're all comic book people, right? And so yeah, their goal is to get it, is to get it into DCBS. Like, if it fails, they may not do it at all. But if they succeed, I know that their goal is to put it into comic book stores or onto Amazon and all those other things, right? So why not just wait for that? Because they're not going to do any, if all I am doing is getting the book, if I'm not getting like my face in the book or like a signed copy with like three like original pages or something like that, right? Like if all I'm doing is getting
the copy of the book,
like then there's no way I'm doing that Kickstarter because I can just wait for it to come out and I know it's going to come out. I think it is obvious that all they're doing is using it as upfront funding. So that they can then get into comic book stores. They go like, look, people are interested, and now you can get it into a store or on a bookshelf or whatever. So, yeah.
Well, I just wanted to see if I was the only one that was getting frustrated with it because it's happened to me. It's happening to me more and more. And it's what it's doing to me is teaching me not to do Kickstarter unless it's something that I know is not going to the store. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Stuff that I know is going to be released, unless I know the creator or have a particular passion for the creator, then I'm not going to do it.
It's like, I like Jamal, personally. I like Jamal Igle. I've talked to him once or twice.
But yeah, like, unless it's a personal friend and I know I'm going to help them or whatever, I'm not going to do this shit anymore.
And otherwise, I do a lot of them. Or I'll do them if there's like original art or some kind of incentive to do it. And in some cases... Sometimes you get like a hardcover that's not going to be released or something like that.
But then it's hard to tell because like Bad Karma, I don't know if you got that one, Bill.
No.
Fucking amazing Kickstarter. Which, you know, God, that was a good one. And there's some of them that I've really, really liked. I just don't know when to pick and choose now. It's kind of confusing.
And some of them come right out and say, you know, we're going to be publishing this through, like, IDW or whatever. So if they're doing that, then it's like, okay, I'll just wait for it to come out through IDW, then.
Say that, whatever, then I'm definitely going to wait.
But Palmiotti and Gray, they always ship your book early. Like, yeah, it might come out an image, but I get it, like, at least a year before it's an image.
Those guys, though, they're absurd. Do they ever stop? I feel like they're doing like a new book every other week.
I think that's how they publish their new one, paperfilms.com or whatever. That's how they support it. It's like a 4-month cycle. You get one new one every 4 months.
Yeah, those guys are just gunning it all the time. And then giving Amanda Connor all the awards.
Yeah, I like Kickstarters. It just frustrates me that, like, I'm seeing on everybody else has, oh, look at my copy of Molly Danger. And you guys know I'm not a digital. Yeah, I have my digital copy, but I don't want to fucking read the digital copy.
We know you're old, Mike. You know you can't smell the books through the
yeah,
iPad.
Yeah, I can't smell nothing. I can't smell the dingleberries.
But you can't even if you read it in the, if you take your tablet into the bathroom.
Right.
Is that what you do, Bill?
Or sorry, the facilities.
Oh, the.
Yes, into the facilities.
I'm going to title this episode, Columbo is not a murderer. Columbo never killed anyone.
No, he solves murders. He brings murderers to justice.
Yeah, I can't believe I said that. That's terrible.
I think there was someone who killed their wife, though, who was like an old TV person.
A lot of people did that.
Old TV people?
I'm not sure how many of them were old TV people. I know, well, I mean, there's a lot of, like, attempted murderers in TV. At least there were a long time ago. But, like, you know, he's on TV, he's in movies. Like, there's, like, Sean Penn and, like, Madonna's ex-husband or whatever, wife, boyfriend, one of those guys. Like, beat her to a pulp or whatever.
I thought there was something controversial about Falk, and there isn't, other than he had really...
Oh, she's like a pretty good dude.
Yeah, well, he had Alzheimer's or dementia towards his old age, but I was like, damn, he didn't kill his wife. What am I talking about?
No, but there probably was someone who did that. It seems to be a thing that happens, like a big name happens occasionally. And you go like, y'all could have just divorced, bro. Like, you're rich. It's good.
Just like Adrian Peterson, man. I can't believe that dude killed his son. That's just terrible.
That's an awful story.
That's terrible. All right. Well, I think we can wrap this one
there
up.
There's a note to end on.
On a happy note.
No, wait. We got to end on this note. Some of the news coming out of New York Comic Con.
Oh, there's some awesome news that I like.
Is there? I have
there's
not.
Two awesome pieces of news.
Oh, I did see the one thing.
Which the one is the new Tom Scholey book coming out from IDW, the G.I. Joe Transformer crossover, which it looks like he's co-writing it with one of the Transformers writers. But it's from his tweets, it seems like he's doing a lot of the creative side of it.
I got to send you that damn book. I'm glad you mentioned Tom Scholey. I forgot to send you Satan Soldier.
Oh, yeah, Satan Soldier.
Damn it. It looks awesome. I'm not a Transformers fan, but I'm going to buy it.
Yeah,
I love G.I. Joe because I always wanted to see a Jack Kirby G.I. Joe.
G.I. Joe.
This one's going to get as close as I'm going to get, so I'm all over it.
That is one I will be getting in the single issues, for the record.
The other one that got me excited was the artist edition of the Jack Kirby thing.
Yeah.
Gods, that is going to be damn awesome.
I know. I'm surprised they had access to the art for that.
Me too. That's what stunned me when I saw the news. Like, whoa.
And then the other thing that I'm excited about is Dynamite got the rights to the Gold Key characters. I am really looking forward to that. Well, you guys know I love Dynamite. and now that they have like Solar and Magnus, oh my god, I'm going to be sucked in.
Where were they before?
They were at Dark Horse. And
that's what it was.
They didn't succeed too well at Dark Horse. They were pretty good. I enjoyed what I read.
I didn't like the art in that one.
They were just too short. We'll see what they do with...
They have high hopes.
I have high hopes. They also
especially
got...
for the Solar and...
Magnus. Oh, I like Magnus. And
Turok, yeah.
And they have like great creators writing too. They announced the writing team.
Oh, I didn't see that. Who's doing it?
Mark Waid and nice. Several different. They're doing like Dr. Spectre.
Dr. Spectre, yeah.
Mark,
they're doing it. Sorry. I just thought they're doing this Durenko thing too.
Yeah.
IDW.
Durenko is doing an IDW artist edition. What else, Bill?
That's all I had.
I am kind of interested in seeing a Silver Surfer book.
Oh, yeah, I saw you post that.
Yeah, I'm kind of excited about that. Just because I don't know a lot about Silver Surfer, but I want to know more. So, I think the art team is good for that book, Allard.
Oh, so you're doing the art?
Adlard, or... Yeah, the guy who does Mad... What is it?
Madman.
He's doing FF right now, so I guess he's leaving that book.
I used to get the Silver Surfer book in the 80s.
Yeah, Chris has been reviewing a lot of those lately. I want to read more about it.
Those are awesome art. I'm blanking on the artist's name.
They'll be good. Adlard. Or are you talking about the 80s series?
The 80s one.
On Lim.
I thought someone else... Marshall Rogers? Is he a writer?
Marshall Rogers is an artist.
Yeah, he did the first run of it.
Oh, did he? I thought Ron Lim did a lot of it.
I think he did it later.
Okay. All right. Well, how you guys have a good week.
You too.
You too.
Bye-bye.
You can find... What about... You didn't do the ending closing notes.
Well, yeah, you can do it. You were going to start. Let's see if you can do it.
All right, you can find us at geekbrunchpodcast.com. You can email us at Mike, Micah, or Bill at comicbooknoise.com. You can do a search on Facebook for Geek Brunch Podcast and like our page there where we post episodes and anything else that kind of catches our fancy. You can go to thecomicforums.com and go to our infrequently used forum page.
Are those up?
And what else we got? You can follow us on Twitter.
I did update it. I got us almost caught up.
All right. Our very updated forum page
where you can see
what Mike's been reading.
Yeah, you can at least see that. I lost track of the movies, but I had to get them back up there.
I forgot you were even doing the movies.
I was, but I totally stopped doing it. And I shouldn't because it helps me track everything I watched. Yeah.
And you can follow us on Twitter. I'm DBM00. Mike is Mike Myers Brunch. And Micah is do underscore what? No question mark.
No question mark.
No question mark.
All right. Well, you guys have a good one.
So it's more of a statement than a question.
Yeah.
Do what?
And I'm not mad at Jamal Igel. I'm just mad that I got my book late.
You're just tired of staring at an empty mailbox.
Yeah, I want to read Molly Danger. I read.
You already paid for it. You paid for it first. Yeah. You paid for it before they paid for it.
I want my books.
I got a cool Tim Seeley Elastigirl. That's awesome.
Oh, from the Kickstarter?
Yeah. I like when they have a... Here's what I like. I know what commissions usually cost. And if they have a Kickstarter where I could get the book plus a commission, I really like that option.
Right, because it's like you're getting a free book.
And then I like when you can pick your character. You know, like, oh, you could get a sketch. You get a sketch plus the book. Or you get a sketch in the book. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I like those. Those are good ones.
Yeah, well, you're getting your money's worth out of those. So.
Yeah. Because then you're at least getting a unique sketch of whatever, you know, one that only exists in your book or whatever they gave you.
Mm-hmm.
One of a kind. All right, well, bye. I could go off on some more stuff.
All right.
All right, bye.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Bye.
Bye.